Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5. The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 6:01 on this Wednesday night, following Tyrone and, of course, Jen and Tom. Great show, as always, following those three as we hang out with you until 10 o'clock for our run with us here tonight as we talk about a variety of different things from the Phils to the Birds. NBA Finals, Game 3, back at it tonight. They had a couple of days off. Look at that. They gave them a little bit of a break, so we'll get into that as well. We have so much to get into. I saw this really, really cool thing from this kid on Twitter where he did this thing with this really cool skill that he has that I have no way of doing that. And I had owned one of these things and still couldn't figure it out. I got to ask people about this one, so we'll get into that. Hustle last night. It came out today on Netflix, and everybody is having some really nice things to say about it. So we'll get into it all. We're hanging out with you until 10 o'clock. But we do have to start because when Tyler and I left last night, Matt Menarkin today, he's hanging out with us tonight. When Tyler and I left last night, we were looking at them, first of all, frustrated because they left three men stranded where JT Realmuto hit into a double play. That was frustrating. And we were ticked off because it was 1-1 at that point, an opportunity on the road where we're like, look, you got to take advantage of stuff like that. And I know there was plenty of time left in the game to make up for that. And we didn't count them out. Yes, the Brewers went up 2-1, but we were still sitting there saying, you know what, they still have a chance. They did let that one up. You wish they didn't let that one up on the road against a very good Brewers team like that. But by the time I get home, settle in, they find a way to win the game. And again, the thing is, for me, with this baseball team, as we know, Rob Thompson taking over 5 games in a row now, 4 for him, specifically with the Angels, and now this 1 win of the 3-game series against the Brewers, you're getting contributions from everywhere. And that's what you like to see. As much as we know you have all these boppers there, you can put up these big numbers, as we've talked about so much with this baseball team, where we expected that as a part of what they do. They win a game 3-2. So now, again, they show us where you can win in another different way. We said, hey, maybe the runs won't travel. Maybe the bats won't hit as well. And they did have 9 hits, but they didn't cross the plate. They did have a base loaded situation that we were talking about, stranding those three as you go into the double play there. But everybody is contributing, from when you go to Bryson Stott, Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber. Now you get, when you go into how the scoring went last night, Alec Bohm hits a home run to tie the score up in the ninth, right? In the top of the ninth to even it up at 2-2. Then you have Vierling called up. He had to be called up for this week. And he hits a home run to left field to give them the lead. 3-2, they hold on, they get the win, and Corey Knebel struggles to get the win, but he does get the win, the save, and Connor Brogdon, he gets the win for the Phillies last night as Ranger Suarez goes 7 innings, 6 hits, those 2 earned runs, 5 strikeouts, a 92 pitch count. This is what you want to see. You know you're going to get the stuff from everybody that we call the stars, from the superstar player and Bryce Harper. You're going to get something from time to time from Rhys Hoskins, Kyle Schwarber, Nick Castellanos, JT Realmuto. You'll get things from there. But when you start to get Bryson Stott giving you a game-winning home run, a walk-off home run, you have Alec Bohm tying the score, and then Vierling coming in and giving you the lead with the home run in a pinch-hit situation. This is what you want to see. This is what good teams do. Are they there yet? We still don't know, but this is exactly what we've asked for. Can you go on a win streak? Can you go on a 10-game stretch where you go 8-2 or 7-3 and we're looking at some positive things? Okay, look, this is how they won this game. That one was totally different from the other one. And they were able to pull that one out of their hat and find a way to walk away with this win. And we saw already 10 runs, 9 runs, 7 runs in those three games against the Angels. And now you get a three-run night last night. They walk away with a one-run win on the road against a very good Milwaukee Brewers team. And they are just simply rolling. 26-29, 11-14 away. Tonight you get Aaron Nola on the mound. And ideally you would think that you're going to get, you know, your other starter who's supposed to, before he was supposed to be an ace, so we'll back off of that now. He's no longer that type of pitcher, but can he come out now and follow it up? Can he follow it up and give them a good performance tonight where, you again, Ranger Suarez gives you 7 innings last night, only giving up, he gave up the 6 hits, but only giving up the 2 runs, and he struck out 5. Can Aaron Nola come out tonight and do something similar? We know a lot of people are going to be paying attention to what he's doing. You're watching the Phillies. You're listening to us, and you're looking for Aaron Nola to do this specific thing tonight, following up a good outing that he had the last time out, where he comes out tonight and does it again. And we hope that that's the case against this Brewers team, because they are a good squad. They're going to be jazzed up for this one tonight because of how they lost the game last night. So he's going to have to be on his toes. He's going to have to be on point with things of how he goes about his business pitching against this team tonight. And the other thing that stood out too, when you see the video where Rob Thompson is talking post game, and as he's talking, it's so loud that you can hear the celebration, the screaming and the music blaring in the background through the walls while he's in his office, because of their excitement. And we can't help. We don't know. We weren't in there. We don't know. We've only watched from afar. We've only seen from afar and have the assumption of how things were with Joe Girardi in there. But something stood out to me that our friend Jason Stark said with Tyrone earlier, where Jason Stark pointed out, you know, we've talked about the youth and everybody being right, all that stuff, and giving them an opportunity, giving them a chance, having a chance to go out there and do stuff. Here's one quote that Jason said with Tyrone earlier during his visit at 4:30 in the 4 o'clock hour, where he says, quote, "There's a lot of star power in this team, and it just felt like Joe didn't connect." Nick Castellanos said he only had 1 or 2 conversations with Joe his entire time here. How? Rob Thompson is the opposite of Girardi. Does that not stand out to you? Again, our perception from afar, guessing how things are going with Joe Girardi and this baseball team. Just guessing. We're not sure. We're not 100% sure. We're guessing, but we might have a pretty good feel of how things are going there and why things are not connecting, whether it's too much with the analytics. He's never talking to them. We don't see them talking to them during the game. Those types of situations. And we make our assumptions, we make our opinions based on that type of stuff. And you hear someone like Jason, who is not trying to stir up anything. He has had a lot of really nice things to say about Joe Girardi, but he's calling it how it needs to be called, which is, again, for whatever reason, Rob Thompson seems to be connecting with the star players. And as Tyrone said, when we got back from the weekend on Monday, the young players also identifying and playing and getting an opportunity, getting a chance under Rob Thompson's leadership right now as the interim manager for the Phillies. And when I heard Jason say that, I was like, wow, okay, right? All right. Because that's what we thought. It just didn't seem right with Girardi, his managing style, and with the players that had a lot of veterans on this team, a lot of them mixed with some young players, but a lot of veterans, and it just didn't seem right. And now, folks, we're starting to see some good baseball. Again, 26-29 now, the Phillies are, as they get ready to take on the Milwaukee Brewers tonight for game 2 of this 3-game series. 8-10 start. They have an opportunity to go for their, they're going for their 6th win in a row. They have an opportunity to pick up that 6th win, and hopefully they do just that. They got 9 hits last night in the game off of Alexander. 7 of those, 5 innings pitched, 78 pitch count. They got him out relatively early, you know, and they did a pretty good job last night. The only problem, again, was hitting into that double play where Real Muto was 0 for 2 with runners in scoring position. They were 1 for 7 with those runners in scoring position, and they needed Bohm and Vierling to get those home runs late in the ninth to allow them to walk away with the win last night as they tag Hader for 2 home runs in the ninth inning to give them the lead. They hold on to it, and they're now 26-29, 5 games in a row this baseball team has won. Listen, it's fun to watch it. I didn't count them out last night, but it was certainly sitting there watching them give up, leave those 3 on base, hitting into that double play, not necessarily leaving them on base, but hitting into the double play where you had the opportunity, 1 out, and Real Muto doesn't hit the ball into play in the outfield to at least allow your man to tag from third to get in, score that run. That was a little frustrating. Didn't count them out, but it's certainly based on their history, their past, where I felt maybe this was not going to be their night. Maybe they'll get him again tomorrow. Not the case. They got him last night. And there's something different about this team. I don't know if it's Thompson. I don't know if they just simply got rid of Joe Girardi because he was, as a lot of people just, you know, he's sucking the air and out of the locker room, and they just didn't like playing for him. I don't know. I have no idea. But something's different about this team. Sometimes it does take something to happen, whether it's a player to be traded, a manager or a coach to be fired, for things to then change for the team. And as that changes, now you start to see some positive things happen more consistently than the bad stuff that we saw on a more regular basis for this baseball team. So once again, another big win for the team, this time on the road against a good squad. So no longer against a bad team. They clipped a good one last night, and they're going for another one tonight against the same Brewers team. That begins a little bit later. We want to talk about that. What are you looking for from Aaron Nola tonight? Because I would like for him to come out there and, again, give them a quality start. Simply give them a quality start. Hopefully the bats can, again, hit the pitching like they did yesterday with the 9 hits, hit the starter, put them in a tough spot, maybe have to go into, they have to pull them and have to go into their relief situation. And that would be, again, maybe beneficial for the Phillies tonight as they get at it tonight with Hauser opposite of Nola. Game 2 of this 3-game series in Milwaukee. Eflin tomorrow afternoon. So we'll all be paying attention to that one tomorrow afternoon with the 2:10 start first pitch. 2:10 in Milwaukee going against Burns in game number 3. But first things first, have to handle your business tonight against Hauser on the mound for the Milwaukee Brewers. So your thoughts on tonight, obviously, with Aaron Nola on the mound. Can he keep it going, folks? Can he keep it going? Do you have confidence that he can go out there and get it done? And what do you make of what Jason Stark said about the stars? The superstar, obviously, in Bryce Harper, but the star players as well just simply not connecting with Joe Girardi. He's out, so I got it. But it's not as if we're going to simply move on from it because it is very fresh with now having Rob Thompson in there 5 games in a row, going for 6 in a row tonight, and we all identify that there's a difference with this baseball team with Rob Thompson now in control. Also, one from Jason Stark that I see here on our 97.5 The Fanatic Twitter account. Here's a quote on Bryce Harper because of how well he's playing. Tyler talked about how he's probably the best hitter he has seen in his lifetime. He's in his 20s. This is the guy for him. Here's the quote. He's going to the Hall of Fame. I really think he's on that path. Most of us would agree with that. He continues, this is one of those instances where the passion of the player matches the passion of the town. And the best thing about him is that he loves the big moment. So when I heard him say that, and I'm glad this was up there, it had me thinking, personality-wise, we've had a lot of players in this town where we like them, but they didn't necessarily fit to the, the passion or the makeup of the town, whether you want to call it blue collar, tough, whatever, lunch pail, however you want to call it. I did want to ask, players that did fit Philadelphia and players that, while they did have success, maybe they just didn't fit Philadelphia the way you wanted them to. Like Donovan McNabb, this whole thing that came out this week with DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy on that podcast with, I don't even know who it was. That's I don't know if it's like Ryan Clark or somebody. I don't know which one it was. But anyway, LeSean McCoy is now part of that one. Maybe it's the one with Fred Jackson and those guys. I don't know. But talked about DeSean Jackson bringing up a story he and LeSean McCoy know about. Number one, where when DeSean Jackson made the Pro Bowl as a receiver and as a punt returner, special teams, punt returner. And apparently Donovan McNabb had said to Mike Vick, I don't think he deserved it behind his back. And it's like, well, I'm not surprised because Donovan was always that guy. He was always that guy that very talented, was always going to be on the field because that's who he was as a really good quarterback. But either trying to fit in and do too much where he was trying to be somebody that he wasn't or just one of those players or guys that you look at and say, yeah, I can see him saying that behind his back and not saying that to DeSean Jackson's face instead of simply being happy for the guy because he made the Pro Bowl as a young player, receiver, and punt returner at such a young age and not pointing out that the guy shouldn't have made it. So right there, that's one that didn't necessarily fit the town, but a lot of us overlooked that stuff, the smiling and all that. I know for one, I am one. I still stand up for Donovan McNabb no matter what. Sometimes I'm like, all right, I can't defend that one. That was too stupid. That was corny what he did about DeSean Jackson, but that was McNabb. He kind of accepted because he was trying to be one of them. He was trying to be maybe something that he wasn't, and then the celebrity came into it, all of that. Bryce Harper absolutely made the right choice during his free agency as far as the city goes. They haven't won, but as far as the city goes, he most definitely fits the makeup of this town and who he is, that passion, as Jason Stark talked about with Tyrone, that just matches everything with Philadelphia. And it is really cool to see. I'm glad he's here. Hopefully he can, again, help to turn this thing around because they desperately need to turn it around and finally make the postseason and get in there and make some noise, hopefully, as a team that sneaks in the postseason. Can they do it? We're still talking about that. We hope that that is the case. I'm not sure that they will, but they definitely have a chance, and they put themselves in a pretty good position to do so. Now, 3.5 games back of the San Francisco Giants for that third and final wild card spot. 2.5 games back of the Atlanta Braves, who also keep winning. They've won 6 in a row. So the Phillies have made up some ground. They made up 2.5 games so far where they were 6 back. They were behind the Diamondbacks, Pirates, and the Rockies. Now they are ahead of all 3 of them with just the Braves in front of them to catch the Giants for that third and final wild card spot. So as we get ready to talk about the Phillies and begin the show, your thoughts, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens going until 10 o'clock on this Wednesday night, 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt Menarik is here producing the show. We'll take your phone calls on the Phillies, continuing to win 5 in a row, going for 6 tonight. Aaron Nola on the mound. So as we talk about them from last night, as they continue to surprise us in the ways that they are doing it, and again, a different way of doing it last night versus what we saw this weekend with all the runs that they put up on the board. What are you hoping for tonight from Aaron Nola as far as his outing goes against this Brewers team who are obviously going to be looking to make up for last night and what happened, dropping their 24th game of the season, looking as if they had the win. They had their guy on the mound, but two unsuspecting heroes, if you will, with the bat in the 9th inning, Bohm and Vierling come through for the Phillies in the clutch. And when we talk about Rob Thompson and how he's pressing the right buttons and all, he pinch hit Vierling in the 9th. He was the one. All right, let's go. It's your turn. Go up there. Do something. And he hit a home run. And so, again, Rob Thompson, he's just doing everything right at the moment. Everything right at the moment. And we have baseball back and it's fun right now in the moment of what this baseball team is currently doing. So we'll take your phone call, 610-632-0975. We'll get to the birds. I have something on that with one of the wide receivers. We talked about the two wide receivers last night, how refreshing it is to have those two in Brown and Smith. There's one that something was said from someone in the Eagles family about one of the Eagles wide receiver players that I wanted to address. and we'll do that. We have plenty of time. We'll get to that. Again, 610-632-0975. We'll talk about the NBA Finals. That is also game number three this evening. Celtics hosting the Golden State Warriors in Boston. Hopefully, the Golden State Warriors do their job. Go up 2-1 tonight. Maybe go up 3-1 on Friday night. And all will be good in basketball land. All will be good in basketball land if that happens with the Golden State Warriors. I'm crossing my fingers. I can't stand that Sixer fans are like, I don't mind if Boston wins. No, they cannot win. I know we all like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart. But no, they cannot win. The Sixers are already behind. You don't want them to be behind by also having a full championship on you as they win going for their 19th overall championship as a franchise. All right, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 on this Wednesday night. Matt Menark is here. We're going until 10. We'll talk about all the Phillies, the Eagles conversation, and everything else that's going on. Last day of the OTAs for the Birds, too. How about that? They wrap it up. And a lot of stuff out there about Jalen Hurts' deep ball connecting today with Quez Watkins, John Hightower. Some good stuff there, taking advantage of the DBs in general. That's good to hear, obviously, with the quarterback connecting with his receivers down the field. We'll talk about it all on this Wednesday night. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5 The Fanatic.
6:30, 97.5 The Fanatic. The 6 o'clock hour brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 17 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com. South Jersey's Diamond Destination, 610-632-0975. Hanging out with you until 10 on this Wednesday night. Phils win 5 in a row after taking last night's game against Milwaukee. And my man Brian checks in right away and says, doesn't take Merlin to send the only right-handed hitter on the bench up to face Hader. I know, Brian. I just want to give the man credit for everything that he's doing. I know. But I want to give him credit for all that he's doing out there with this team. I do. So, yeah, I know. Doesn't take the Merlin to do it, but he did it. I'm giving him credit because we finally seen some things turn around with this baseball team. How long will this last? I don't know. But I'm just happy that these games mean something now. They meant something before, but now they've actually put a little bit of a dent in all the games that they were behind. Obviously, being back to 12.5 in the division, then 6 in the wild card. This is fun. It's fun to see baseball back. Hopefully, it means that the rest of the summer we'll have something to be excited about with this baseball team in the National League East and their opportunity. And everyone's talked about their record. Everyone's talked about then the schedule going forward with the possibilities of making up things. They're still 10.5 games back of the Mets. I still don't think they're going to catch them. 2.5 games back of the Braves, as we mentioned, because of the wild card situation. But game by game, week by week, month by month, hopefully they can put a dent in things overall. 610-632-0975. And with Aaron Nola on the mound tonight, and we were talking about him in general, Matt gave me this Aaron Nola inning split breakdown of what Nola has done all season. So here is his breakdown. He has earned run average of 1.64 in the first inning, 9 hits, 11 games, 11 innings pitched with 41 batters faced. No home runs, but 2 runs, both of which were earned. Second inning, no ERA. That hasn't given up anything. Okay, cool, but giving up 6 hits, but no runs in 11 games, 42 batters faced. Third, 2.45 earned run average, 11 games, 11 innings pitched, 43 batters faced, 8 hits, 3 runs, all 3 are earned, and 3 home runs as well. 15 strikeouts in the third, 16 in the second, 9 in the first. Fourth inning, 3.48, 11 games, 10 and a third innings pitch, 41 batters face, 6 hits, 4 runs, all earned, 1 home run, 2 walks, 14 strikeouts, 5th, 3.60, 10 games, 10 innings pitched, 37 batters, 6 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts, and then the 6th. This is the big one. 13.50 sixth inning for Aaron Nola. 10 games, 8 innings pitched, 37 batters faced. Get this, folks. He's given up 12 hits, 12 runs all earned, 5 home runs in the 6th inning, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts in the 6th inning alone. That's where it clearly becomes a problem for Aaron Nola with how deep he can go into a game and the damage that the opposing team has put on him in the 6th inning. Now, the 7th, he has 6.75 ERA, 5 games, 4 inning pitch, 16 batters face, 4 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 home run, 4 strikeouts. 8th, 1 game, 9th, 1 game, but a 27 earned run average in the 9th. But it's really about that 6th inning where he has his problems, where he really has the trouble. And we need to see him get through that tonight. We really do. We do. we need him to do better. And my man Brian checks back in and says, "Come on, you know I'm just kidding, D. Did you stand up and applaud the projectionist after you saw Top Gun?" Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Of course not. Of course not. But I understand. Thanks, B. I appreciate it. But yeah. That's where Aaron Nola has his problems when he gets to the 6th inning and he's 13.5 earned run average. You need something much, much better from him tonight in order to keep this winning streak alive, keep it going, give him the 6. And I think most of us would have said, if you go into Milwaukee this week, 3-game series and you take 2, you'll be fine. Of course, how it happened is a big deal, but for the most part, you will be fine because of them taking 2 of 3 against a very good Milwaukee team and maybe them showing you something. So I hope that he is the one that comes out and has a good game, because I can see tomorrow with that getaway game, a day game, and they slip up and they lose that one. I could see that happening with the Phillies tomorrow. I hope it doesn't happen that way, but I'm just saying, I could see it happening that way. Win another series, right? You lose that Giants series, but you win the Angels, you win the Brewers series, and now you're really feeling good about yourself. Now you're really feeling good about the situation that you have going forward, knowing that even after Milwaukee, you have Arizona, who you have now passed with the wild card spot, and then you have the Marlins coming in. So you have 6 games after the Brewers, beginning on Friday with Arizona through the weekend, then Miami, and quite honestly, you got 5 with Washington, 5 with Washington in Washington, June 16th through the 19th. And, of course, you have the doubleheader on Friday, but you have that 5 and an opportunity for this team to make up some ground with the schedule that they do have coming up. So it's favorable. They're not a great team, so I'm not acting as if they are one of the top teams in Major League Baseball. But what I am saying is, after being down in the standings the way that they were, bouncing back with these 5 in a row. That's why we always talk about it just simply being important to try to put something together and to put a run together. It's not always going to be a double-digit situation where you win 10 games in a row. But you could be in a spot, like we see with them right now, like we see with the Braves right now, where you have a 10-game stretch where you're playing some good baseball, and then that carries over. The pitchers, they have confidence based on the runs that are being put up on the board because you're having success as a team getting it done that way. And now everyone feels much better. Clearly, with the managerial change, things are working out for them at the moment. How long will this be sustainable? We don't know. We have no idea how long this will carry over. But for right now, these are the things that you want to see from this baseball team and trying to hold up as long as possible to chip away every single game, every series, every week, every month, and finding themselves in some meaningful baseball situations, and obviously going into deep in the summer where they can position themselves to make the postseason and finally give us a playoff run during Bryce Harper's era here for the very first time. So this one is huge tonight. Aaron Nola on the mound. We'll see what the batters do. We'll see if they can keep things up. And as I say that, I do need to check once again and see what the lineup looks like, because they have been going with the lineup that we've been talking about, staying consistent with the lineup. And right now, he's running out the same thing again. Same thing specifically with the top five, and then Didi at in the six hole. He's doing it again. Not broke. Don't fix it. Keep running it out. As long as they're able to hit and score, keep running it out there the way that you are. And that's exactly what he's doing. I know. You don't need Merlin to figure that out, Brian. I know. But it's working. So you keep it that way, and you allow it to remain that way until you need to make a change. But and I know I'm one of them that likes the consistency of keeping the lineup the way that it is until they find something maybe later on with the leadoff hitter being much better than Schwarber or up at the top of the lineup. But until then, if it's working again, there's no need to change things. If it's not broke, don't fix it. That stands in this situation with this baseball team at this time. So I like the fact that Schwarber, Hoskins, Harper, Castellanos are your top four. Again, Realmuto, Didi Gregorius, and Alec Bohm. Your next three with Herrera, Stott, and Nola clearly on the mound for the Phillies tonight. So that's your starting lineup tonight against the Milwaukee Brewers in Milwaukee on this June 8th, National Best Friends Day, where we realize that they have a bunch of best friends bunch of days for everything. But that being said, this team is playing some good baseball, so we want to see them get the win and keep it going tonight. You can reach us at 610-632-0975. Okay. Jasper J. Gridlock on Twitter just sent something to me from ESPN.com, where now the Texans are going to be added as defendants in the Watson suits, now that he has another female filing another suit against him that came out yesterday. So with all the information that came out with the Texans and the Browns maybe being culpable in this with how the investigation was going, now the Texans are going to be added as defendants in the Watson suit. So we'll keep an eye on that again as it goes along. Obviously a tough thing to talk about, but as it continues, it's also hard to ignore as this thing simply continues to go along with Deshaun Watson in that situation with the Cleveland Browns. Their fault, this is not good. Not good for him and for the organization, the Cleveland Browns, and most certainly now with the Houston Texans, thinking they have gotten rid of the situation, but maybe not, because now they're going to be pulled into this entire thing while he was still there allegedly doing all this stuff with these women. So see how all that plays out. Also, here's the one thing that I wanted to bring up with the Eagles that I wanted to put out there early in the conversation. It was Jennifer Slay. So she's active on Twitter. She's really cool on Twitter, really cool to follow. And she likes to have these giveaways for fans, and Darius Slay's wife, right? All these giveaways for fans. She's really cool on Twitter. But this one thing that she said a little bit earlier, Eagles Nation, PHL Eagles Nation on Twitter, that's their Twitter handle, put up a photo of Jalen Reagor, like the stock photo, holding his hands in front over the shoulder pads, asking, what are your expectations for Jalen Reagor this season? And she responds, 6 hours ago, nobody is 100% perfect. Also, understand, players do have a life outside of football, and from my understanding, he's been put through a lot. Always hope for the best for every player. I think instead of downing him, you uplift him Just my opinion. Prayers to him through it all. All right, so I have thoughts on this, which is why I wanted to bring it up. Because I think every city has a level of toughness that they have, where they are on their players. They are tough on their players, their athletes in their city. Philadelphia is known to be one of the toughest. You have to have thick skin to play in this area and be successful, to perform every day, every time out that you're out there on the field, the court, the ice. Nobody is 100% perfect. I agree. Absolutely. Jennifer Slay is 100% right about that. Nobody is 100% perfect. And we know that players do have life outside of football, basketball, hockey, baseball, soccer. We know. From her understanding, she's plugged in. He's been put through a lot. I don't know what that means. Has he been put through a lot through the football side of things, where he has been put through a lot? Are we talking about the unfortunate passing of one of his close friends over the last 2 weeks in that tragic car accident? I don't know what that means, but as I was talking to Tyrone before he left about this, everybody goes through stuff on a daily basis, but you're out there also to perform your job. There are many things that we may not even reveal on the air that we are going through on a daily basis and still have to do our job. You having to go to your offices and do your job and still do it to the best of your ability because your bosses are still watching. And obviously us here, we have a lot of people to talk to. Whether you call in or not, you tweet in and you listen, you expect us to do our jobs. And the things that he may be going through, life outside of football, I don't know. But what we know is, as a player, he was drafted very high. He was drafted at a position that we knew that they needed. They addressed it. We thought they picked the wrong player on that night. It wasn't his fault. They selected him. It wasn't his fault. But he also has to go out there and perform. So while I appreciate her saying that, we don't know what he has been put through, a lot of things that he has been put through. I don't know what that is. Of course we hope the best for every player. We want every wide receiver to have a 1,000-yard season, five or more touchdowns, and every quarterback to throw and break the single-season record. Of course we want every player to have their best season. He has been awful. He has been awful. Was he overdrafted? Maybe. It doesn't help that Justin Jefferson was the player that a lot of people wanted for the Eagles at that spot in the 2020 draft. Not his fault, but he was still projected for a lot of people to be a first-round talent. He has not performed to those standards, whether it's at the wide receiver position or at the punt return position in special teams, where they desperately need that help there as well. So again, I'm sorry that he is going through or been put through a lot. Again, I don't know what that means. Is that football related or is that something off the field? I don't know. I know one thing. His dad blocks everybody that says anything bad on Twitter about Jalen Reagor. Monte Reagor blocks everybody that says something bad about his son. I mean, I don't know. He doesn't help himself, in my opinion, when he goes on Twitter, like Miles Sanders, and says these weird things about, if you're not with us, you're against us, or these cryptic messages that he puts out there that a lot of young athletes or a lot of young people do because social media is their era. I don't know. I don't know what that means, that he has been put through a lot. And instead of downing him, you uplift him. Every time Eagle fans go out on the field, sure, you don't want to see him in the starting lineup, but you know he's in the starting lineup. You want him to have a 100-yard game that week. Absolutely. You want to see him turn it. When he had that touchdown against the 49ers in game two of the regular season, the link opener last season, everybody was ecstatic that he caught that pass in the end zone. Then it was called back because he stepped out of bounds or was pushed out of bounds. But he didn't establish enough inbounds to make himself available for that football down the sideline legally to take it into the house. Then he goes on with the rest of the season. He doesn't do anything. And that's just simply who he has been. He has had a terrible start to his Philadelphia career. I don't blame him for being selected by the Eagles. But when you are out there and you are starting and you are getting an opportunity, I expect, like many, for him to go out there and perform to the level of a first-round talent. Chad Ochocinco, formerly known as Chad Johnson, has told us, watch out, Jalen Reagor is going to be fantastic. Chad, I hope you're right. He said, believe him on that, because Chad is Chad. He has done it. He has seen talented players come into this league and do big things. Well, Jalen Reagor hasn't done a darn thing for the Philadelphia Eagles, and that's why they drafted Devontae Smith. That's why they went out and traded for A.J. Brown. And that's why we are excited for those two. And as we talked about it yesterday, refreshed to know that you were going to have two players the level and the caliber of A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, because after drafting J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Jalen Reagor, back-to-back drafts, they bombed with those two. So now you have to go fix the problem that was created by taking those two players. Yes, I'm sorry, Jennifer, Reagor included, that you have to go out there and get Smith and A.J. Brown. I hope he figures it out. As a football player, it would be fantastic if he was the third wide receiver on this team. And with his speed, the ability that we saw with him in college, that translates. Finally, he figures it out in year number three. I hope that's the case. Too bad for Zach Pascal and Quez Watkins, because Jalen Reagor has finally shown us what we want to see. But right now, I don't know that he's going to do it. Uplifting him, I think Philadelphia Eagle fans have tried their best to do so. He has not done anything out there on the field for fans to back him just because anymore. He has done nothing. And I don't know, again, what that means, that he's going through a lot. I don't know, or put through a lot as a football player. I have no idea what that means, put through a lot. If it's off the field, again, obviously we're sorry, but when you show up with the job to do. When we talked about Joel Embiid with a broken face and a broken thumb, we still expected him to go out there and be a dominant type of player, a superstar player that he is, to help elevate his team and lead them to victory while he was out there on the field, on the court. We just do. And I'm not apologizing for that, because that's just the nature of sports and what you expect. That's the nature of your job, to go out there and perform your job to the best of your ability. If that's the best of his ability, he's not good enough. He's not. And that's why we're happy that A.J. Brown is now in town and Devontae Smith was selected in the 2021 draft and did what he did a season ago as a rookie wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles. I can't count on Jalen Reagor anymore. The uplifting has been done. We've tried. He's not that good until he shows us otherwise. That's who he is. And that's how we approach it. And that's how we talk about it. 610-632-0975. So Phillies obviously on the table. They play again tonight, going for six in a row after their comeback win against the Brewers. Two home runs in the ninth, Bohm and Vierling getting the victory. And they go for it again tonight. Aaron Nola on the mound. What are you expecting from him out there? And I just had to bring that up about Jennifer Slay. She seems like a very nice person. And obviously, if you are Darius Slay, you love that your wife stood up for one of your teammates that way, because she is active on social media. She sees and hears these things, and she wants him to have all the support. I agree. But that's not what it's all about. He was a first-round talent. Got to play through that stuff. Isaiah Thomas, when he was with the Boston Celtics, lost his sister. Car accident. Crying pregame, sitting on the bench with Avery Bradley, trying to console him. He goes out and drops 50 in a playoff game. Everybody goes through stuff. It's about how you handle it. And everybody's not built like Isaiah Thomas to do something like that and drop 50 after such a tragic event happens for you, your family, and then have to go still out there and play and do your job. Joel Embiid, as Tyrone, when we were talking about this, lost his brother. He wanted to quit. He didn't. Now he's one of the best players in the NBA. You fight through it. You stick through it. I hope he bounces back, but I'm sorry. He's going through a lot. I don't know what that means. Or he was put through a lot. I don't know what that means. Well, we put through a lot, too. We want to see this team win. If he's suiting up, if he's ready to go, and also saying cryptic things like he's not getting the opportunity, go out there and make the best. You're out there getting these snaps. Go win. He's not good enough. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. We'll keep the Phillies conversation going. We'll keep the birds going as well. And I'll tell you about this kid that I saw doing something, this unusual talent that he has, this skill, and I don't have it, but we'll talk about it, see if you have it, see what kind of skill you may have as well as we go until 10 on this Wednesday night. Devon Givens, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens, 97.5 The Fanatic.
702-97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you. Matt Menard producing the show. We're hanging out on this Wednesday night until 10. Talking about the Phillies getting ready for their next game against the Brewers tonight with Aaron Nola on the mound going for win number 6 in a row. It'd be great to see them do that. Keep this hot streak going. Hopefully the Celtics lose tonight. We'll get into that a little bit later. I'm sure that makes somebody that I know is listening right now happy. Laughing at me, I'm sure, as I say that. But the OTAs, as I just talked about Jalen Reagor, so I'll slide over to the OTAs a little bit here with everything that we saw or heard from Tim McManus and others and what they observed from OTAs as the Eagles got together for their summer get-together. It's good to see where you see these highlights of these deep connections with the wide receivers, whether it be John Hightower, Quez Watkins, Jalen Reagor. These things happen. These connections are there because the one thing that we want to see from Jalen Hurts this season, outside of the two wide receivers that we talked about, we just want to see his deep ball much better down the field, because if you feel like you can get separation from your wide receivers with those DBs and they can make some things happen down the field, you want to feel confident that when we're watching, on television, you know how it goes with the deep ball, that all of a sudden all we see is the football going down the going, leaving the hands. The camera is now adjusting the screen so we could see it where the player is down the field. We want to make sure that it's going to connect and it's not overthrown or it's not underthrown and it's not going out of bounds because he didn't put it in the right spot. These are some of the things that we want to see from our quarterback here for them to have some success. And to hear that he has had an okay OTAs, we don't take much from this stuff, right? We can't, because it's just the OTAs. They're going against each other. It's just good to see them out there. They're in shorts. They're just running around. They're having fun. They get together. It's all good. But you get Fletcher Cox talking, and he's speaking about how the D-line, how great it looks, and you look at all the stuff with the D-line that they have and the depth. And we've talked about this all off-season through the free agency and training camp. Through the draft. It looks good, right? It looks good to see all of those names. I don't think they have a stud on the edge. I don't know what Josh Sweat is going to be able to do. I hope Brandon Graham can bounce back. If anybody I feel like I can count on, it's him. But I don't know that he's going to come back and be Brandon Graham that we're accustomed to seeing out there on the field. So I have questions, but I do feel good with how they approach the offseason and all the things that they have now in the mix with that defensive front, including the linebackers a little bit, but the defensive front overall, where you look at them, you say, man, they have some pretty good stuff. And to hear Fletcher Cox talk about the defensive line and, that all that they can possibly do up front, causing havoc with their defensive pass rush. I love to see it.
Give me that call to Vaughn Gibbons. 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I really love to see it. I love to hear him talk about it that way. He spoke about how there was never a problem, really. Everything was professional with he and the team. When he was let go, they did it. They knew exactly what they were doing. He knew exactly what he wanted to do, which was simply come back to the team and be a part of this situation going forward. And while he may not be the same player anymore, he has been a very, very, very good player for this football team. He is a Super Bowl winner. He was the leader of that front as far as his play. And I like having him there for Hargrave, Milton Williams, Jordan Davis. I love having him back for those reasons. You may not like the number that they gave him as far as the money goes, but for the most part, you like the fact that Fletcher Cox is there and he's just simply talking about all the good things that he liked this team, that he liked what they did. Because remember last season, he did come out publicly and say things that he just did not like how the defense was being played. Now, we don't know if it's going to be the same. We have no idea. We don't know what they're going to do. We have no clue. No clue of what they're going to do as far as how they run it. Maybe it's a 3-4. A lot of people really believe it's going to be a more 3-4 base than a 4-3 base like we have seen over the last couple of seasons. But they have stuff. And again, I like that they have a lot of stuff. He likes that they have a lot of stuff along that front line to wreak havoc and cause problems for the offense opposite them and make sure that they get to the quarterback and disrupt things and make it really hard for them to have the success over there. And then as a result, we've talked about it, Darius Slay, James Bradberry, who they said has got beat a few times. But hey, when we talk about having really good wide receivers, that's going to happen against Slay and Bradberry. You just hope that it doesn't happen against your opponents for the 17 games that you have. That's going to open things up for the secondary to do their part, for the linebackers to run sideline to sideline, use their speed and do what they need to do. And that's what you have your front four to cause those problems and make it easier for things on the back end and vice versa. If they're locking things up on the outside and deep down the field with the safeties helping out over the top, underneath, whatever it might be, that's going to make things easier for the job to get done from Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, and everybody else. Even Derek Barnett can possibly have some success this season. Maybe he can have some success this season. One of the things that Fletcher Cox did say was it was just part of the process as far as his release and then resign. He knew that the team wanted him here. Also looking forward to, as I look at some of the tweets coming in, Les Bowen, Dave Zangaro, looking forward to teaching Jordan Davis as much as he can. See, veteran guy, understanding he was in that spot before. Now help out. He's not like Tannehill, not wanting to help Malik Willis in Tennessee. But we'll see if Fletcher Cox, you know, helps out and has some stuff there to go along with. You know, I'm sure the guy's motivated to come back in year 11 and still have a big, big impact on this defensive front line and what he is doing. And the contract is what the contract is. He understands, again, him being back at the OTAs here, final day of the OTAs. He's out there working. Just get out there and do your job. He wanted to be here. The Eagles wanted him here. They made it. They figured it out. They made it work. And now they have a lot of different stuff on the front line. Also, something that he pointed out, says with the rotation on the defensive line, there's no second string. There's no drop off from the first unit to the second unit. Well, let me see here. Let's just assume the starters are Sweat. Let's just go to the typical 4-3. Sweat, Hargrave, and Cox with Brandon Graham on the other side. Then you're looking at Barnett. Let's say Hassan Reddick. They'll use him in pass rushing situations as well. You look at Davis and Williams. That's a pretty good eight that you have right there. Am I missing anybody? I don't think I'm missing anybody as far as though that rotation goes. That's not a bad drop off from the starters to the backups. I'm not a big Derek Barnett fan, as you know, but he's here, so I have to accept it if he's going to get these snaps. That's not bad. That's not bad, all things considered. And then the linebackers are just simply what the linebackers are, from Edwards to Taylor, White, Reddick, as we mentioned. They have some young, speedy guys that hopefully can also do some damage in the passing situations as they cover the tight ends, cover the middle of the field, maybe become some playmakers, cause for some turnovers, and use that to their best of their advantage and going the other way and hopefully putting some points on the board as well for this team. So it's really cool to see that, and understanding that he may have a reduced role. But again, there's no drop-off, as he said, with what they have overall with this team, with the eight that I just ran out of those guys. Now, I hope I'm not missing anybody, but that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking of the eight. Sweat, Hargrave, Fletcher Cox, Graham, Barnett, Davis, Williams, Reddick. It's not bad. That's not bad at all when you talk about the rotation that they're going to have in having all of these guys funnel in on that defensive front. And that's the other important part, just being able to keep everybody fresh, keeping them fresh. Fresh legs come in, keep the offense on their toes of what they're doing, because every time you look up, and I'd imagine that a lot of these teams are going to try to run those quick no huddles to not allow the substitutions to happen. But man, are they going to have fresh legs with all of this talent that they have along the defensive front. That's really good. I can't wait to see Jordan Davis. I was talking about watching him go through some of those drills as we saw a few of the videos posted and seeing what he was able to do. We know he's a huge individual in the middle of that defensive front. But my goodness, we saw him at Georgia. He can move. Good pick. Good pick. Really good pick for the Philadelphia Eagles by selecting Jordan Davis in the first round at pick 14. Was it 14 to 13? They jumped up and got him. Either way, it's just going to be fun and exciting to watch him do his work here as well. And here's the other thing that I wanted to bring up too, because I was watching this video of this kid. And then we'll get to the phones again, 610-632-0975. I was watching this video of this kid, and I couldn't believe what he was doing. So check this out. This 19-year-old kid, Angel Alvarado, maybe you guys have seen this on social media. He set a world record by solving 3 Rubik's cubes in just 4 minutes and 31 seconds while juggling them. You hear me? 4 minutes and 31 seconds, Angel Alvarado, 19, sets a world record by solving 3 Rubik's cubes in just 4 minutes and 31 seconds, juggling them. The previous record was 4 minutes and 52 seconds, which Alvarado set a year before. To do something like this. Folks, listen. I never say I'm the smartest person, but I also know I'm not an idiot. I can never. I think I solved the Rubik's Cube. I did a few times, but I certainly didn't do it in minutes time like that, and juggling the Rubik's Cubes, 3 of them, and figuring out all 3 of them, the patterns of what you need to do to fix that Rubik's Cube. I don't know what other talents that I have outside of just saying that I played basketball as a kid, love it, still play it now, played in school, all of that. Never said that I was a great player. I just liked it. Thought I could play a little bit. Think I could still play a little bit. And that's about as much as it goes. I have a good memory. That's why part of the reason why I have this job, because you remember things in sports. So there's that. I don't know if I ever able to do anything like that. And that's unreal. That is unreal to be able to do something like that. Do any of you have any skill like that where you can? And it may not be a Guinness World Record or anything like that. I'm not expecting that, but just some different skill, some talent that maybe you have that a lot of people just don't know. Just don't know. I'm curious because that is unreal. That is dope. That is really cool. 4 minutes and 51 seconds. Matt, do you have anything that I've known you for a while that I don't know about that you can do like that? I don't mean like cutting grass or anything.
You're I can cut your some lawn. Grass, man.
Yeah, you know.
If I do have a special skill, I don't know about it either.
Four minutes and 51. I mean, my goodness.
I can't even.
I think it's 4:31. I'm sorry. I said 4:51.
I don't think I've ever just sat down and figured out a Rubik's Cube, period.
Correct. I've done it, but.
It's taken me 4 days and I probably won't do one.
4 minutes and 31 seconds. He did three of them, juggling.
Were they inspected? Because that's kind of...
I'd imagine so. It's for the Guinness World Record. And he's done this before. So, yes.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of weird things with these Rubik's Cubes online. These people doing these amazing things.
Talent.
It is. It's very talented.
Very talented.
I sure as hell don't have
any. So, if you have some, and just share them. Whether it's on Twitter, on the phones, whatever. Share them. That's crazy to be able to do something like that. That's crazy. All right, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you till 10. That's Matt Menard. Let's go. I was about to bring in one of Hassan Reddick's former teammates at Temple. He just dropped off Brandon. I was about to bring Brandon in so he could tell us about Hassan Reddick, how best Hassan Reddick can be used, having him with this Eagles defense with Graham and Hargrave and Fletcher Cox and Josh Sweat, all of these players. I was curious to hear from Brandon about how best to use Hassan Reddick in this Eagles defense. Now, I know I think it's going to be a lot of 3-4 as the base, but you know they're going to mix him in a lot. That rotation is going to be pretty good. So instead, we pivot. We go to Alabama, check in with our friend Tom here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tom?
Look out, big time. How are you?
How you doing, man?
Doing fine, man. One of my beautiful freaks was just trying to get a hold of me. I said, listen, girlfriend, I'm busy right now. I'm getting ready to be online with the big time.
Oh, man.
I said, Tom from Alabama will get back with you, girl, when Tom from Alabama gets back.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Lovely lady, hang on. Tom will get back to you. We have some things to talk about with the birds. What you got, Tom?
Hey, let me tell you, I'm not a big Derek Barnett fan either, man.
No, I'm not.
You should have seen this dude, though, the way I made him out. You should have seen him against Alabama a couple times, man. I thought when we hit on him on the second round, I said, I told everybody, this dog is down. Well,
He was a first round pick.
Was he?
Yeah. They traded up for him. Yep.
I'll tell you, the thing about him is he's aggressive, but it's not in a good way, but he's aggressive. That switches me to Fletcher Cox. And, man, I banged hard on Cox on this deal here. But, man, I respect Fletcher Cox. He carries himself well. He speaks well. He carries himself well off the field. He's a class act. There's no question. But Fletcher Cox has made a lot of damn money from the Philadelphia Eagles organization. And if you look at his numbers, now I'm going to compare him to Aaron Donald, which is the best, okay? And that's
yes,
hard
he
to
is.
Do. I get it. But this dude is always on the bottom of the pile. And then last year, D, he's going to call somebody out and say, that's not my job. Oh, man, that's the last.
Yeah, I didn't like when he said that either. I didn't like that either.
You know, but like you said, Sweat, Hargrave, those four pieces, I mean, and then coming in with Williams, who's the guy they drafted?
Davis.
And then I don't know what Dean's deal is, if he's going to play. But we're good, man. I mean, I feel good about it.
No, I think with the rotation that they have, they are going to be pretty good. As much as Fletcher Cox has not been the same player, I don't mind, obviously, having him in the mix as part of the eight-man rotation or however deep that rotation might be, because he still does clog up the middle. He knows the tricks of the trade, and he's a valuable player for and a valuable voice for someone like Jordan Davis, who will be there, you know, learning and giving him that tutorial of how to have success in this league. So I think they'll be fine along the defensive front. And, man, it's going to help out so much with the corners and the safeties as well and allow the linebackers to do their job. They're just going to have a lot of opportunity to make plays. I hope that they can finish those plays.
Well, that's, you hit it right on, and you hit it right on before you put me on the line about, you know, the rotation and penetrating the offensive line of the opponent. Because, you know, somebody said about Bradberry getting beat. Well, guess what? I don't care who you put back there. You're going to get beat because it's professionals against professionals. And, you know, Bradberry and Slay, you know, we're going to need a safety, but we got time. And Howie Roseman knows what he's doing, man. But like you said, this year, the coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, he needs to be sending the house, man, like Jimmy Schwartz would, man.
You got it, man. Listen, thanks for the call, Tom. Always great to catch up with you. Have a good rest of your night, man. I know you will. 610-632-0975. Hanging out with you, talking to the little birds there because of Fletcher Cox. Some things that he said about the defensive front. And I'm happy to hear it. Obviously happy to hear it and how he feels about his defensive rotation, saying that there is no first unit, no second unit, basically, because they're just all going to continue to rotate in. And it's going to be a good rotation that they're going to have with Jonathan Gannon's squad. It's on him, too, to devise things the right way as we go along. Robin Delco, hang on. We got you when we get back. 610-632-0975 for everybody else. We'll hit on Twitter. We'll also check in and talk a little bit about Hustle last night. While I haven't seen it, Matt hasn't seen it. They premiered it last night. It was released today. Last night in Philadelphia, released today worldwide on Netflix. And while won't talk about the movie itself because I haven't seen it. We'll probably do that on Friday with Tyler. A lot of good reviews so far from a lot of people who not only saw it last night, but also had the time to check it out throughout the day as we are now at 7:22 and all the cameos and the appearances by the local flavor and NBA talent in general. So we'll get into it all. 610-632-0975 on this Wednesday night. Devon Givens until 10, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens until 10. Big Phillies game. Game 2 of a 3-game series against the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. Aaron Nola, he gets the ball tonight against this Brewers team. 33-24. While the Phillies are now 26-29 after their 5-game win streak that they currently have, running from San Francisco through Los Angeles and now the Milwaukee Brewers, looking to keep that trend going against the Brewers this evening. Let's hope that they do so with Aaron Nola on the mound. Again, asking, what are you looking for from him tonight? Not asking for a complete game. Not asking for a perfect game. Not asking for a no-hitter. Something realistic about Aaron Nola tonight and keeping this thing going. You must feel good, right? Now, I'm not asking this question about you must feel good with him going out there, right, guys? No, I'm not asking that. I'm saying we are supposed to feel good that you're supposed to feel good that he's on the mound. We are supposed to. At least we're supposed to. He hasn't given it to us all the time. Again, laying out the numbers that Matt Menard gave me with the specifically his Aaron Nola inning split, and the big one being the sixth inning. So they'll be up 2-1, and we'll be paying attention to see what he's doing in the sixth inning. But with him on the mound, we're supposed to, right? We're supposed to feel good as the number two starter on your staff stepping on the bump tonight against a good team. Whether it's stopping the bleeding of a bad losing streak or continuing the winning streak, because he is, again, supposedly the second best pitcher on your staff. And he has to come out tonight and have a good performance this evening against this Milwaukee Brewers team. Laying out those numbers that Matt gave earlier. Matt, specifically, we'll get to Rob here in a second. He wants to talk some Phils, too, and everybody else, 610-632-0975. But that sixth inning, man, 13.50 earned run average with 8 innings pitched in 10 games, 37 batters faced, 12 hits, 12 runs, all earned, and 5 home runs during that time. Tough inning. Tough inning. He's got to be better than that tonight if he gets that deep into the game.
Oh, most definitely. That's my biggest concern. I mean, he's give up 13 runs first through 5 innings and 12. So they're either making the correct adjustments against him or they're not making the proper adjustments later in the game, because the sixth inning, that's typically your third time through the lineup. So they're making who's catching JT, they're not making the right adjustments to counter anything that you're not giving them anything different. So I wish I could break down the pitch. I mean, that would be really breaking down the pitch sequence later on in the game against lefties and righties. But there's something to it because it's drastic. It doesn't go from, you know, 2 point something to 3 point something to 4 point. It goes from 3.6 to 13. So that inning right there, they're either going to have to, if he seems his pitch count's too high at the time, they're going to maybe have to pull him, have somebody ready, because, and this, not just this year, this is consistently. I mean, he's had this issue for a long time. When he sees a batter more than twice,
yep,
that's game over.
Second time around.
Yeah, and like you said, you should feel comfortable with him in there.
You should.
Because he used to be your ace. Now you got Wheeler, who's way better.
Who's clearly the number one.
But you should still feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
And they will first through 5 innings. So hopefully, if this Phillies have like a 5-6-1 lead going into the 6th, maybe you could take a breather. But if it's close and he's still in there in the 6th,
we're going to be sitting there sitting on the edge of our seats trying to pay attention. Now, look, and we'll get to Rob here in just a second. It's not like we're going back to some of the years past where we look at the 93 team, the 80 teams, all those, and certainly the teams from 2007, 2011. Definitely with the Halliday, Hamels, Lee, Oswald, right? All those guys, Joe Blanton. We're not talking about this staff needing to be that, because they're not. It would be nice if they could put that together with the front office and building and all that. But knowing that, hey, man, you got your ace. Then you have a second guy that could potentially also be an all-star. That you don't skip that much of a beat is what I'm saying. And that's what we're asking of him. And I think it's fair for us to ask that of him, as the guy who was previously the ace, and maybe he was giving that a little bit too soon, but that's what we had. Now look, 11 games pitched, 11 games started, 5 quality starts. He's 3-4 right now with his record, and his ERA is 3.92. He's given up 10 home runs, 52 hits, 29 earned runs, struck out 79, which is good. And 10.7 through 9 average right there with his K's. All right, okay, 3-4, quality starts, come out and do it again. Last game that he pitched was against the San Francisco Giants. 6-5, that was the win. He went 6 innings, 5 hits, 5 earned runs. 5 earned runs, 1 home run, 5 strikeouts. Before that, though, that Braves game in Atlanta, they win 4-1. He goes 8 1/3, 5 hits, 1 run, 10 strikeouts. And before that, he had 9 strikeouts against the Dodgers, 8 strikeouts against the Dodgers in that next series, and then 6 against Seattle. These are his last 5. He has a 2-3 record there. But We need the Atlanta Braves start Aaron Nola tonight. That's what we need. That's what we need. And the Dodgers game where they lost 5-4, he went 7. 4 hits, 2 earned runs. I'll take that. I'll take that. Give that to us. Robin Delco next on 97.5. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Devon, always a pleasure talking to you.
Always, man.
Listen, let me start. First of all, I'm talking to producer. That Rubik's Cube thing, Devon, I'm somewhere between a rocket scientist and a moron, right? I'm somewhere in the middle, okay? You know, I'm not the brightest bulb, but I'm not the dumbest either. So, you know, I consider myself, you know, somewhere in the middle. But that's crazy.
Hey, that kid, man. Wow.
I got to look it up, Devon. I'm going to do YouTube real fast and look him up.
Yeah, look him up. 19-year-old, 3 Rubik's Cubes. He's juggling, and he gets the record in 4 minutes, 31 seconds.
And before I touch on the field, the knee was real fast. I got a hidden talent. I don't know what it is. I make a mean PB&J sandwich up
there. So do I. We have to battle it out one day.
I'm all for it, man. Let's raise some money for charity.
No doubt about it. No doubt.
You know what I mean? So that's my hidden talent. But real fast on the field, Devon. You couldn't make this stuff up. Now, let me start off with the Sunday game real fast. I don't know what to expect it from Harper, but the first couple of years he's been okay, but the last year and change, he's been clutch. I mean, to come up with that granny to tie it up. And then you got Bryson Stott, who's not even batting his weight. I know he's young.
Yeah.
He's struggling a little bit coming up. But for him to hit the 3-1 shot, and then you got the two least guys that I think would come up and hit home runs – Boehm and Vierling off of, I'm not saying he's Mariano Rivera, but nobody scored off a run off this reliever since last July, I think they said last night when I was watching the game. So he's like the version of Mariano Rivera right now. Right now. He's on ahead of
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's crazy, Devon. You couldn't make this stuff up. These guys coming through like this. So you know what? 7 strong tonight. 2-3 runs. Phils are going to win. So that's what I'm expecting from Nola.
And look, that's the game that he had against the Dodgers on the 15th in L.A., where he went 7, 4 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 1 home run, 2 walks, but 8 strikeouts in the game. That's the type of performance that you expect to see from him tonight.
I'm always go big or go, you know, go home. He might even give us 8 tonight.
He might. He might give us that Braves game. Yeah.
Why not? You know what I mean? Why not? And real fast with the birds, I'm going to make a couple of predictions here because I wear my emotions on my sleeve, just like I want the athletes to do. Jalen Hurts is going to teeter, okay? He's going to teeter on a top 10 quarterback this year. And you know what? N'Kobe Dean, game one starter. And you know what? We're going to the NFC Championship, Devon. And who knows what's going to happen after that? Why not, Devon? How many really, really good quarterbacks are left in the NFC? Aaron Rodgers, who's kind of choked the last couple of years being the top seed, and you know, Stafford. Why not? Why can't we put together 1 year and turn around real quick like these other teams do? With the additions in the draft and free agency, why not us, Devon? Why not us? I'm thinking big.
Well, listen, and you should think big, Rob. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate that hidden talent of making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You got to put the jelly on the left side, the peanut butter on the right side of the bread. That's just how it goes, man.
Always, Devon.
All right, man. Really appreciate it. Yeah, and look, you should want to believe that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to have a nice run this year. They can compete with Dallas. They can more than compete, what I think, with Dallas. We believe that they're still better than Washington and New York. And I hope that this Jack Del Rio stuff from earlier today just simply just makes things harder for them in their locker room because he's an idiot. And I did not like his apology, by the way, if you didn't hear it. I don't want to get into that, but you can check it out and have your opinion, form your own opinion. But I think that they're clearly better than Washington and clearly better than New York. I think they both have good coaches. I like Brian Daboll. I don't know what he's going to do, but I like him. I like Ron Rivera, but the Eagles and Dallas are just simply, in my opinion, better than those two. As a result, they will compete for the NFC East crown. And I hope that you're right, Rob. I hope that they are a team that we look to and say, once we really see like the first three, four games, oh yeah, oh yeah, they might be in this thing. I don't know it yet. I don't know it yet because we haven't seen them. We don't know who Jalen Hurts is going to be in year number two. But I want to see him do it. I like the kid. I think he can be better because he works. How good, I don't know. I don't know. He has things. I hope he worked on the things that he felt like he needed to improve this season to make those deep passes down the field and complete them to his receivers, to hit those more intermediate things in stride and on the target. The hands, the chest, whatever it needs to be, they'll allow them to make those plays and yards after the catch, especially with A.J. Brown. You got to give him an opportunity to turn and go. Dallas Goedert as well. And also, just simply having, you know, control like he did of this offense last season. I think he'll be okay. I do. And stand in the pocket, reading the defense. You never want to hear a coach, no matter what time of season it is. This was in the playoffs in that wild card game where the Tampa Bay coach said, "You can't read our defense. He's confused. He has no idea what's going on." You never want that. And I hope that that was a big motivating factor for him this offseason as well. I do. Because he has a chance to be good. And they put the pieces around him to give him an opportunity to be successful. And I hope that he does just that. 610-632-0975. And as a matter of fact, let me share this too. Because I saw this when we talked about the wide receivers last night, Brown and Smith, and how excited I am for the both of them. I also saw this where there was this power rankings of NFC East wide receiver power ranking. Since we talked about it yesterday, I just saw it, so I'll bring it up. Where it has the top five wide receivers in the NFC East. And I'll start at number five. I'll give you Michael Gallup at five from the Dallas Cowboys, coming off the ACL. But Michael Gallup is good. They move on from what's my man's name?
Amari Cooper?
Austin. Amari Cooper, sorry. They move on from Amari Cooper. And number four, they have Devontae Smith. So far, does that sound fair to you, Matt?
Yeah.
Without me telling you anybody else? All right, number three, Terry McLaurin.
Okay.
Obviously fair.
Good receiver.
Yeah. Number two, CeeDee Lamb. No arguments here.
Okay.
And number one, A.J. Brown.
I can't argue with that top five, really.
Got to feel good about your receiving core with those two leading the pack. Maybe not Jalen Reagor until we see it finally. But certainly in your top five, not hard to be. There are four teams. But look, the Giants don't have a receiver on here. There's only one Washington receiver on here. And you have two Cowboys, two Eagles. Number one and number four are yours. Have to feel good about that. Have to feel good about that. 610-632-0975. So that is the NFC East power rankings. I saw this earlier. Wanted to share that. Five, Michael Gallup. Four, Devontae Smith. Three, Terry McLaurin. Two, CeeDee Lamb. One, A.J. Brown. Those are the NFC East wide receiver power rankings. And it's good to have two of your birds, wide receivers, your outside targets there.
Finally.
On this list. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thrilled. Absolutely thrilled. My man Brian is no longer tweeting at us. He's calling in. Always great to catch up with B in Plymouth Meeting. What's up, B?
Yo, D, how's it going?
What's going on?
Yeah, sorry, I haven't been in the car very much at night.
All good, man. You have a life. You have a life. It's okay. It doesn't revolve around us.
I got some of one left.
All right, but, I'm glad to hear that.
With the Phils last night, well, I think actually what you hit on, like more than the analytics that they talk about, is just, you know, the being able to relate to the players, because Girardi is pretty far removed from actually being a player himself at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if anything, that would be it. But at the same time, you know, their chemistry was fine last year when they were hitting in August and September. But then, like, watching that game last night, it's still so – I mean, the ending was fantastic, but if they didn't have heroic home runs from those guys, we would be talking about the terrible Real Muto at bat, where they just need a single, and you've got a sinker ball pitcher, and he's he's not even a home run hitter.
Are you talking about with the bases loaded?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And he's swinging for the fences. Like the strike two was a meatball hanging slider that, I mean, I would expect any major league hitter to just be able to put right back up the middle, score two runs on a single. And I forgot, you know, Castellanos, Schwarber, Harper. I mean, those guys are home run hitters. I mean, I get it from those guys. I not get that from JT Realmuto, though. And then the tightrope in the ninth with Corey Kniebel. I mean, that's
walking the bases loaded. I mean, come on.
It's really reminiscent of, well, because basically he only had one pitch and that wasn't even that great. It's kind of reminiscent of 2009 when Lidge was just, his knee was busted and he was tipping his pitches and he just had one pitch. I don't see how that's going to be sustainable if he continues.
And I remember when we did the show when we were doing our predictions of you like your key player for the season outside of the obvious like Harper or Wheeler and stuff like that. And I remember Tom Alvord was with me that night and he said Corey Kniebel was the guy that he felt was going to be key, either good or bad, in this particular space. And you see what he's doing right now where he's going the other way. And now we're talking about Sir Anthony. You know what I mean? So.
Well, he has been. I haven't been following him that close, but Sir Anthony has been pitching pretty well, right?
Yes, yes.
I don't know. So, I mean, that's where I'd be looking probably tonight.
Soon.
I pull the plug. And, you know, I've been saying to you and Tyler for years, like, I really just want to see them take any live arm in their system, even if they're not major league ready. They got two major league pitches. Once it gets midsummer, bring them up, put them in the bullpen, let them get a little major league experience from the bullpen. But I don't know. Hopefully they got some live arms in the pipeline. I'm well beyond trying to pay attention to what's going on.
Yeah, there. Right. Exactly. We need to worry at this point. We need to be worried about what's up here with a eye wandering every now and again, what's going on down there. That's where we should be.
You know, and to bring it around in a circle back to the Girardi thing. I mean, just the simple fact is that the lack of that pitching depth in the rotation is what did him in the years he was manager here. And, you know, I've got I hope I'm wrong, but I've got a suspicion that he'll probably end up doing it again this year. And then let's talk a little hoops for,
talk a little hoops. I was going to get that to the next segment. So please get it started.
You know, interesting. It'll be interesting to see what they do tonight with Tatum. Cause they very clearly basically went Kobe defense on him in game two, where they took all his teammates away and they said, you can score as much as you want. And that worked for one half and then it stopped working. That would be interesting to see what they do with that, what the Celtics role players are able to do on their home court, which they didn't really step up the other night.
Do you think it was more because of the physicality in game two?
Yeah. I mean, that was going to be the Warriors game, right?
Unless they're just shot.
So, I do think though that, you know, I tweeted at you earlier, they're bringing in Scott Foster and Draymond is running his mouth. I could very easily see him in foul trouble.
So it is Foster tonight? Okay.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's funny that listening to the Windhorse and Tim Bontemps, they spent 10 minutes on their podcast before the referees were even announced, predicting that the NBA was going to bring him in. It's so close to being WWF, but I definitely see
awful.
You know, Draymond either being in foul trouble or just straight up ejected from the game, and I don't think that kills the Warriors, but I think that it could be.
Could be,
you know,
a
bit more of a score. Yeah, you know, less clutching and grabbing, more scoring, and then it's just kind of a like who is going to hit more of their threes. And I would lean towards the home team there, where the role players are going to be a little bit more comfortable in their home court.
I agree with you 100%, and I think it's going to be a close game tonight. Don't know who wins, but I do think I would give the edge right now to Boston because they are home. But Golden State does know how to win, so we'll see. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, I need Boston. So, and to your point earlier, you know, for the Sixers aren't really competing with them in number of championships anyway, so we might as well just let them win and then have everyone get greedy.
No.
Have them get fat and happy and greedy and break up the team so they won't be in our way next year. Marcus Smart asking for a Supermax.
That would be tremendous, wouldn't it?
Actually, isn't he with Defensive Player of the Year? Isn't he eligible for
I think he is. Or obviously just a raise in general. But that would be hilarious. And I think at this stage, though, I think he understands his positioning with that team.
You think? But yeah, I mean, you would think.
I heard him on JJ Redick's podcast, and he seems like he's, you know. But money, when it's right in front of your face, that might change.
Hey, you're already capped out. Give me all the money you can.
Give me all the money you can. Yep, absolutely. Right. But, AB, enjoy the game tonight, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you, man. Thanks, man. Later. Yep. I have a question. It's about Stephen Curry. When we get back, because the game is being played tonight, Brian just talked about it. I have a question about Stephen Curry. I'll give that to you on the other side, because this is always very curious to me when we talk about him as a superstar player, Hall of Famer, surefire Hall of Famer. I have thoughts. I have a question. I will present it to you when we get back. Get Matt's thoughts. You can tweet in. You can call in 610-632-0975. We'll share that with you when we get back right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5 The Fanatic.
How appropriate. The Roots bring this back after a great weekend. The Roots picnic at the Man over the weekend. Seems like everything went well outside of the South Street part, of course. That was ways away. Wasn't the Roots picnic, but just pointed out that, yes, the Roots picnic this weekend is a success. Happy for my guy, James Poyser, and Kamal, and Black Thought. Questlove, always great. And I was briefly in the area. So if you've listened to me over the years, you know I'm from Winfield, and the Man is right down the street from my house. And we could always hear, whenever a concert was going on in the summer specifically, sitting outside or just in my bedroom, since my room was in the back of the house, so you could, it was facing the Man, so you could hear it. And you could always hear, basically word for word, what the entertainer, whoever was singing in that concert that particular night, whatever song it was. So we didn't have to go see it. We could just sit there and listen to it. Especially in the summer, no school. Everybody's out at night. We're just hanging around on the block and on each other's step, whatever. And like, oh yeah, I forgot. Tina Marie is there tonight, and you can hear Tina Marie at the Man Music Center. So, Roots Picnic, a success. Happy for the guys as always. They do a great job with the Roots Picnic. And by the way, Ian Rappaport, an hour ago, sources, the Rams and Super Bowl MVP Cooper Kupp have made significant progress on a new contract extension to pay him among the highest paid wide receivers in the NFL, likely a 3-year deal. It would hand Kupp well past $20 million per year based on the new money average. And it is officially official. He does, in fact, have this new 3-year extension worth about $75 million, making Kupp one of the highest paid wide receivers in the NFL, as he should be, according to Ian Rappaport on his Twitter account. Well deserved. Guy comes in out of nowhere from a smaller school, not out of nowhere because they knew who he was, but he was drafted not in the first round, but as a player people thought could be productive in the league, and in the league too, where, I mean, you got this white dude out there just crushing it. And we don't see a lot of white receivers out there just calling it for what it is, right? It is what it is.
Unless they're a little shorter guy like Wes Welker.
Or Amendola, all that stuff. Yeah, but crushing it like this, that dude is tough. And Super Bowl MVP, well-deserved. And he is seems like a fantastic guy. Shouting out Robert Woods every chance he could as his wide receiver who taught him so much as a veteran in this league, because he was out with the ACL, couldn't make the run. He just quietly goes about his business and is a dominant force in the league with what he does. So top 3 wide receiver, if not the best. I personally still give it to Devontae Adams, but I would not argue with you if you said Cooper Kupp.
I agree with that. I still have Adams at the top.
I do.
You can't, with Kupp's production.
What are you going to say?
Yeah, there's not much to argue. He definitely, I mean, this was expected. He definitely deserves it. He earned it. So, you know, good job, Rams, for keeping him.
Yeah.
Because there'd be a lot of people after him if you didn't.
No question about it. No question about it. So, congrats to him. And it's well worth the money that they're going to pay him for sure. 610-632-0975. All right, let me get to let me get to what I said I wanted to talk about with the Stephen Curry thing. So Steph Curry, and we have a couple of tweets, and we'll get to those shortly. Stephen Curry, Golden State. Going for their fourth championship. He, Thompson, Green, Kerr, Bob Myers, Joe Lacob. They're going for their third title. Andre Iguodala, this will be his fourth as well. And I still see so much. And I was even talking to a couple of people, like friends. And when we were previewing the series, one of my closest friends, Stu, we were talking about this yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Man, I can't stand Steph Curry. I think it was Stu that said that. And somebody else said it to me. Then another person said it. I'm like, but what does he do wrong that makes you not like Stephen Curry? What does he do? And everybody's like, I don't know. It's just, and look, I have it too with people where there's like, there's something about them and you can't necessarily put your finger on it, what it is as to why said person rubs you the wrong way. I'm guilty of it too. But Stephen Curry, it seems like he goes about things the right way on the floor. He doesn't play dirty. He just shoots the ball. He changed the game, yes. But it's not his fault that people tried to shoot like him and it's bad for basketball. You should know your limits. You should know your range. If you can't do that, don't do it. I don't understand why so many people have a problem with Stephen Curry. It starts with the star players in the league first. About 5-6 years ago, LeBron James, I think it was James Harden. There would be a few guys that just, we would always hear that it was he was never accepted as a superstar. It was like, I don't understand. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Why they didn't like him. All right. I get the light skin thing because I'm light skin and I got that stuff too where people just didn't like me because of whatever reason. Good grade of hair, fair skin, whatever, right? Everybody's not going to like you. That's okay. And I also know that that's a light skin thing too. I know that. That's why when people were coming at Ben Simmons, they were, oh, that's a light skin thing. Okay. All right. All right. So he's light skin. He has these light eyes. His parents are... His dad is Del Curry, all that. His mom is gorgeous, right? His brother is also a talented basketball player. But why don't you like him? What has he done? What has he done? And I just don't get it. And now, after everything that he has done, it went from chewing on the mouthpiece when he's running up and down the floor after making a three. So he's showing up his opponent. Chewing his mouthpiece. Why do you have it? Put it in your mouth. The dancing after making the shot, something like that, where sometimes I do think he goes too far with that because I'm like, yo, you don't even have to do it. You made the shot. That's all you have to do. All you got to do is turn around and go up to court. And sometimes I can maybe see that, but not something that hangs on where I carry that and can't stand the guy. Why don't people like Stephen Curry? He is a smaller player. He has changed the game. He has this unlimited range that none of us ever believed was possible to see someone shoot like that. We've seen Ray Allen. We've seen all these people. Drazen Petrovic. We've seen Peja Stojakovic, Dirk Nowitzki, obviously, the way that they, all these guys, Reggie Miller, all these players that we've seen shoot and shoot the way that they do, and we marvel at it. He does it and changes things. And what's to dislike? He's a champion. He's a superstar that doesn't take himself too seriously. He brings in another star, a superstar, a megastar, doesn't skip a beat. When Kevin Durant comes in, Kevin Durant's the best player. Everybody knows it, including Stephen Curry. He's like, okay, fine. We'll just keep winning. And they do. Why don't people like Stephen Curry? I just don't understand it. It's like he did something. What, because he beats your team? Well, I see the same people filling up the arenas early to go watch their pregame routine, especially also here in Philadelphia when they were doing their run.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Just to watch him and his routine and shoot from half court and all these things that he does. I remember when they were in their prime of what they were doing when Kevin Durant was still there, and they would have to rope off the center's floor to keep people away from walking on the floor because of how big they were and how big he was. It's amazing. And he's still the same dude. He's an Under Armour athlete. He had bad ankles. He had to leave Nike and go to Under Armour with bad ankles. He turned himself into this player. He wasn't supposed to be this good. He's arguably a top 15 player of all time now. He's the best three-point shooter ever, breaking the record with the most makes ever and by a wide margin with the attempts that he has versus everybody else and the makes. This point of his career versus everybody else's, where they were winding down, still making them. He's still going in his prime, basically. What don't you like about him? I don't understand. I know it's not everybody in our area, but it was a point that I wanted to bring up to ask the question as to why people do not like Stephen Curry. I don't get it.
I think sometimes, because he kind of has like a baby face. Kind of, he looks younger than he actually is. And I think sometimes when people that has that baby face show, maybe not arrogance, but overconfidence, it could come off as annoying to people. So maybe that's part of it. I mean, how many, I don't know, baby faced athletes are like really popular? You know what I mean? I mean, it's, I think maybe that's part of it. I don't know. Maybe because they want to be him and it's envy.
Maybe so.
I mean, because I'm sure that happens.
But see, that's wow. The part of the light skin thing where, again, experiencing that, people would be, oh, what did I do? I talked to my parents about that. I didn't. What did I do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you have nothing to do.
I don't have anything to do with that. And with him, all he had to work, number one, of trailing his father's legacy. Not that his father was a great player, but he was a good player. He was a really good player for his era, for what he did as far as the shooting goes. So he was a really good shooter. And he has come in, and when he was coming out of the small school of Davidson, he turned things around, and he's done what he's done, changing the game. So maybe it is envy. Maybe it is jealousy. And what LeBron James had to work harder. James Harden had to work harder. So many other players had to work harder to get where they are. Well, so did he. He just had to do it a little bit differently because yes, his dad, he had the resources to do it, but he also wasn't highly recruited. He wasn't LeBron James at the age of 14 where everybody wanted a piece of him. He wasn't James Harden after like year three, where he then gets traded to Houston, starts to blow up and has his own team. I don't understand where people go with that.
His brother doesn't get that hate too. And he's not as good.
Yeah. But, and he had to work too because he was an undrafted player.
But he could come off as even more arrogant.
He can. And just so his body language always stinks to me.
Yeah, the walk. You do the walk perfectly.
Yes.
The Seth Curry walk. But yeah, I mean, he comes off more arrogant than Steph. But because he's not as good, he doesn't get as, you know, much hate.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. So I don't get it. And it was something that I don't know that we have the answer, because it may not be locally. It could be more. It's more nationally. We see it. And certainly with the players. I just didn't get it. I didn't understand it. I wish he was on my team. I wish he was making those threes, making those plays, making those dances after he makes a shot with my team. I would like that. I would like that. Elbow Shafari says, this is the first playoffs I've ever rooted against Steph, so it is the first time I noticed it. He is an annoying celebrator. So if he's beating your team or bet against him, it drives you crazy. Is it that, or is it he just made the shot?
A little both.
He made the shot to then do the dance. So, I mean, you know how we say it. Stop him. Stop him from doing it.
Can you?
No.
I mean, that is one thing Matisse can do, but
he had a great game against Curry this year.
Not a lot of people, even if they try.
No, you're right. And Jay Gridlock Jasper says, I was just thinking the same thing about the, quote, light skin, end quote, thing being a factor in the Steph Curry hate. Definitely believe that's a factor when it comes to him as a player and not getting the respect. I don't think people at this point can deny him any longer the standing that he has in the history books of the NBA. It's what it is. You can't deny it. A lot of people were wrapped up into him making that final three-pointer in New York to make sure that he passed it. See, you saw greatness. You saw the celebration and all of that. And we were all wrapped up in it. I wanted to see it here. When they were here that weekend, Matisse Thybulle said, no, not on my watch. But we were like, all right, he made this many the game before in Milwaukee or wherever he was, Washington, and he's coming here. He only made three. All right, can he make six here? He's capable of it. Will he do it? It's nationally televised. Will he do it? Instead, Matisse Thybulle said, no, I'm shutting all that down, and we're going to win this game. Cool. I wanted to see both. Break the record. Sixers win. Let's have a party. That's what I wanted to see. But if he was on my team, I would love it. He's not even on my team. I enjoy that brand of basketball that they played over these last few years. I enjoy their legacy, their dynasty that they've had. I wish they were all still together, including Kevin Durant. I wish he was still there, because that team was phenomenal to me. I will always argue against everybody. I don't want to tonight. I don't feel like getting into it. I'm just simply pointing out that team, man, that might be the best team that I have ever seen. I mean, I've seen the Jordan teams and all that stuff, but the way that they did that with them four and then the others, from Iguodala to Livingston to Bogut and those big men that they had, and oh man, I was so mad. What was the big man that couldn't make a shot? I couldn't remember his name. Big man, number 31, that year that the Cavs came back and from that 3-1 deficit, and they came back, and he was just awful. He couldn't make a shot. He had some really good looks. I can't remember his name, but I remember his number. Big man, and he was a serviceable player. Back up, but they needed him at that time. I think that's when Bogut or somebody else was hurt and he had to play some extra minutes, and he just couldn't make a shot. But that time, that was so fun to watch that Golden State Warriors team, in my opinion. I enjoy that basketball team, and I do wish they were still together. Obviously, I want to see the Phoenix Suns beat them if they were still together and everybody's chasing them. but it makes everybody step their game up. My argument at that time was, then go do your job. Put a better team together, or put a team together that can compete. Daryl Morey did the closest, and obviously Cleveland, because they played him four times in the finals. But in the West, Daryl Morey did the best job of doing so by having the James Harden-led team with all of the other pieces around them, from Chris Paul, where they had their best chance, Ryan Anderson, you know, making threes, and all the players that they had, the best chance that they had at that point was then. And listen, do your job. Stop them. Beat them. Don't you feel great if you go and beat the best? Beat them. Go out there and beat them. Stop them. And then all is well. 610-632-0975 as we go until 10 o'clock. I was just curious about that and wanted to bring that up to everybody, because for me, again, I'm a big Steph Curry guy, big Golden State Warriors guy, and I just don't understand why so many people dislike him as if he didn't. Yes, it was Festus Ezeli. Yes, thank you, Laj. I appreciate it. It was Festus Ezeli, the bug man on the Warriors who couldn't make a shot. Yes, it was Festus Ezeli. Yes, and JC from Philly, J. Cartagena 215, says, people hate greatness. Steph is great. They hated LeBron over the decision when he donated millions to Boys and Girls Club. Steph and Clay are must-see TV. People hate others when they achieve too much. I love watching the Splash Brothers. JC, so do I. So do I. I don't love LeBron James, but I like him. I watch him every time he's on that I get a chance. I don't like the Lakers version of it so much because I just don't like that team, everything around him, and I can't stand Anthony Davis. But I don't love LeBron James, but I like him. I do. But you're absolutely right. They hate greatness. They hate greatness. All right, 610-632-0975. When we come back, my friend Tom Moore wrote a story, since we're on basketball briefly, and get to the Sixers. Philly's Eagles still on the table. We can talk about that. But he wrote a story in Courier Times that I want to bring up about one player that would be very interesting. He put together a really good case about the player and Daryl Morey, Elton Brand going after said player and the top target this offseason. I wanted to bring it up, talk about it a little bit, because I like the player a lot. I want to see what you guys think about it. 610-632-0975 as we go until 10. I'm Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, he does. B. West. Always on The Fanatic. He'll be with Tyrone and Jen on Friday, 4 o'clock, as always, on Fridays with Brian Westbrook. Make sure you check it out as well. And I think we have a special announcement tomorrow that apparently is this huge deal. On the morning show, the John Kincaid show. So,
I believe it's 8 a.m.
8 a.m.? 8 a.m. 8 a.m.
Tune in.
You say it like that, it makes... Aeolion. 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 You know what that's from?
Sounds familiar, but I...
John Amos coming to America.
Okay, yeah.
When he meets Eddie Murphy's mom and dad when the king and queen come to town.
All right, John Amos is like,
Aeolion, Aeolion, Aeolion. So, 8 a.m. tomorrow morning on the John Kincaid Show, a special announcement here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So make sure you are tuned in tomorrow morning, no matter what you have going on. Make sure you have the John Kincaid Show on from 6 to 10. And the special announcement will be at 8 a.m. Aeolion tomorrow morning. On 97.5 The Fanatic. So I was reading my friend Tom Moore from the Courier Times. Tom's been covering the Sixers for a while. He's been around. He's seen it. Seen a lot. And we've had a lot of conversations about the Sixers, clearly just being around each other for these games. And there was a story that he put together today. And it kind of goes off of what our friend Jake Fisher, we were talking about him with his story about the Chicago Bulls and the Jazz may be linking up, swapping centers. Rudy Gobert, Nick Vucevic, also Patrick Williams, the young wing, talented wing from Chicago, possibly going to Utah. And any deal by the trade, by the draft on June 23rd, which is in a couple of weeks, 15 days now. Tom also noticed something in the story that caught his eye and made him write a story about it, which was, as this offseason is ongoing and figuring things out, as he puts it in his piece, Bleacher Report's Jake Fisher's item, that versatile young Raptors forward, OG Anunoby, who I'm a big fan of, isn't thrilled with how he's being utilized on forward-laden Toronto. Should have caught Maury's attention, like it caught Tom Moore's attention in the story. As he puts it, Anunoby would be a huge upgrade for the Sixers as a starting wing. Terrific defender, capable of covering all five positions at a high level. We know he's a very versatile defender. He can play one through five. We've seen it. Meanwhile, he averaged, as Tom continues, a career-high 17.1 points, 5.5 rebounds during the regular season, and he doesn't turn 25 until July 17th. His contract at 6'7", with his size, reasonable, relatively, $17.4 million next season, $18.6 the following, and then the player option, $19.9 in 24-25. The only concern, as Tom continues with this story, he missed 63 regular season games over the past two seasons due to injury and illness. I don't know how they would get it done, but I would love for them to get this done. Thibault and 23, as Tom talks about in the story, that won't get it done. Thibault doesn't make enough money. 23 pick doesn't carry enough financially to add on to the total. Niang, Korkmaz, Milton, not much trade value as he continues. Paul Reed, the same thing. This would probably be difficult, and you're trading in division with the Toronto Raptors. Masai Ujiri, while he does have a number of wings in Pascal Siakam, Scottie Barnes, they're going to get a lot of the offensive production there, a lot of offensive touch. He would work well here with Harden and Embiid, playing off of them, playing off of Maxey. He proved in the playoff series against the Sixers that he can score. He was just putting up numbers on the Sixers like he was nothing. And it was very frustrating because at times I was scared, man. I'm like, whoa. Especially when they came back and they won those two games. Even things, I'm like, oh, man, they cannot allow this to happen. Why are they having so many problems with slowing down OG Anunoby? I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know that it's possible for it to happen. In the six games against the Sixers, he averaged 17 points, 4 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 1 steal in 36-plus minutes. His shooting splits, 47.6% from the field, 34 from beyond. Seemed like he made like 43% of his threes and 75% from the foul line. The guy can play. When we talk about the Sixers needing wings, and I would always say the Sixers need wings, I don't have the answer for you because they don't have a lot of flexibility outside of Tobias Harris's contract, who was one of the stars of the Adam Sandler Hustle movie, which premiered on Netflix today and had the screening last night here in Philadelphia. Outside of Tobias Harris's number, which also OG Anunoby's number does not fit, they have some other things will have to come back from Toronto, and I don't think they would want to give up more. OG Anunoby would be the perfect wing to have in this lineup with Embiid and Harden and Maxey, and including Harris. I would hope that they can keep Harris and have Anunoby. That's cheating. That is flat out cheating. If you had Anunoby as your other guy. So when I'm always talking about my example, I always say the Sixers need an extra wing. Oh, let's go get Bradley Beal. And even Donovan Mitchell, who I said I would be okay with, let's go get Bradley Beal, Donovan Mitchell, and somebody else that's not 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". I always say, I don't know. I just know what I want that player to be able to do. Like, put the ball on the floor, have a mid-range game, get to the rim, make the three, and defend decent defensively on the other end. He's more than decent defensively on that end of the floor. I would love for OG Anunoby to be a Sixers addition in the offseason. But like Tom stated, I think it would be very difficult for them to pull that off.
Wouldn't it take a multiple team trade for the Sixers?
I mean, you could also do that. Maybe you can shift something else from somewhere to somewhere else. Maybe that goes to Toronto. I don't know. But what I know is when I say, and I always say, somebody 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", maybe even a little bit higher in height, I'll take that as that wing for the Sixers. That would be the perfect wing. Perfect for this basketball team. He has some toughness to him out there as a defender, clearly. He can make his shots. He can get to the basket and finish. He finishes strong. I would love that. And he's not even 25 yet. He'll be 25. I would love that if they could find a way to pull that off. I just don't know how they would be able to pull that one off. I don't have the answer for that one. I wish I did, but I don't have the answer for that one. But I thought it was interesting that Tom wrote the story because he would be a fantastic addition this offseason for the Sixers if they were able to pull something like that off and add him to the team. Would be fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. That's the type of wing that I would love to have on this basketball team. He's not perfect for a lot of people, but that would be a perfect addition for me. He's not Paul George. He's not some of these other wings that we might like. But man, that would be fun for me. That would be fun for me. All right, 610-632-0975. Maybe we have a few folks who want to check in on that one as well. We can do that. Talk about that a little bit. And just the overall thing with the Sixers because of Tom Moore's story about OG Anunoby. And that always can turn into something else. Let's go to Eddie in Princeton, who does want to talk about the Sixers here on The Fanatic. What's up, Eddie?
How you doing, Devon? Good evening.
Good evening.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Devon, I just wanted to make this point. I'm just seeing the Sixers go through this over and over and over again. If you have a fresh paper tissue to blow your nose, and I asked you to trade for my used tissue, would you, even because my used tissue is stronger than your new one, would you?
Nah.
Then what? That's the same concept. Sixers need to draft strong players suited for their needs and cultivate and keep those players. I'm tired of seeing them throw away good players. We drafted a good kid, traded him for Markel Fultz, a dud. And we were left stupid. We had Drew Holiday, and we let him go. Come, I'm tired of seeing these guys cultivate, draft well, and cultivate what you have. Now we're about to do the same thing with Thybul. He wasn't the greatest, but he works. He functions for what we need, defensive part. We're going to trade him away for a guy who's been out almost 2 years. I'm tired. Don't. Forget about that. Draft strong. I don't even believe in Harden. We could have had Harden for nothing. He was willing to come to us for nothing, and we traded away like it was an emergency to win the title this year. This is garbage, man. Trust in what you see and cultivate what you have drafted.
Who did you say they drafted? Traded Markel Fultz. Which one was that?
We drafted the kid that played somewhere in Philly, and we traded him away for Markel.
That was for Zaire Smith. That was when
Zaire
they,
Smith.
Yeah, that was when they.
Zaire Smith, And then we did something where we ended up with Markelle Fultz.
No, so what they did was they drafted from Villanova Mikal Bridges, and they traded him to Phoenix for the rights for Zaire Smith. Then the next year, they so that was in the year before that, in 17, they traded from 3 and moved up to number 1 to draft Markelle Fultz. And Jason Tatum, as a result, fell to 3 because Lonzo Ball went 2. That's how the Markelle Fultz thing went. I think you're talking about the Zaire Smith part, but obviously the Markelle Fultz. Yeah.
Yeah, but
I hear you, but you know they're in win mode right now, so those things already happened. So at this point, I like Matisse Thybulle too, but OG Anunoby is a better overall player, and he's also a very, very, very strong defender on the perimeter too, where you won't miss much there. And I know, but remember, it was the injuries and illness. The illness was a lot of COVID stuff, and he got sick. That you can't do anything about.
It's already precedent. It's already there. History is there. If you have someone who can play for a if, no way. No, I'm not doing that. I'm tired of the if.
Well, I don't know that Matisse Thybulle is your answer right now. I like him.
Okay, but we believe that Maxie is going to be
Eddie,
good.
Matisse Thybulle, listen, if we want to go there, I'll get on Matisse Thybulle right now. Because Matisse Thybulle is driving me nuts with the fact that his offensive game has not caught up after being in the league for 3 seasons, has not caught up at all.
That could be an internal thing.
That could be. But to your point, it is internal. They're here. He's here. So why is it going to get better? And how long do I have to wait?
I can't answer that, but the kid...
But that's my argument back to you. As much as I like him, too, his offensive game sucks right now.
He's still better than an if.
Better than an if?
Yeah. The other guy, if he starts, if he's healthy, if he's... I don't need another if.
Here's my if. What are you doing if Giannis is defending Matisse Thybulle in a game and they're playing 4 on 5? What are you doing if they do that? Because we saw that, and Doc Rivers made the right move after a few minutes and took him off the floor. We didn't see him again really for like 15 minutes because the guy cannot play offensively. He's a liability.
That goes to our depleted bench and what we have to do on that side, bringing other guys that can give our coach a better chance at matching up.
Well, listen, again, Eddie, great call, man. Good argument. I loved it. But, again, I'm not – Matisse Thybulle is not holding up anything for me in that regard. Just not.
To me, Matisse is an if.
He is.
We don't know if he'll ever be able to shoot. So he's as big an if as anybody, really.
And I like him. But when you talk about availability, if he has the second vaccine – he would have played against Toronto in Toronto in that round one. If his choice. But if he's not available to play, maybe you're giving up games. And when you talk about depth and they should be able to get through it, you're right. But they don't. That's not his fault. His fault is he's not further along as an offensive player. I don't mind having him on my team at all. I don't mind having him on my team one bit. Not one bit. But I'm not going to sit here and act like his offensive game is at a place where I think it should be. It's not, quite frankly. He's 25 years of age. He's been in the league for 3 seasons. He played 4 years of college basketball. I don't expect him. I don't expect him to be Sean Marion. But I expect him to be Bruce Bowen, knock down corner threes, and sometimes that takes a little bit longer. I do know that. And I know he works. I do know that as well. But my goodness, he's also an if. Let's be fair here. He's also an if. If his offensive game catches up to his defensive game, he's probably untradeable because his defense is so strong. And he is athletic. that it would be tough to move on from him. But come on. If with OG Anunoby, yes, he missed 63 games, I would take my chances. I would. He came into this league with bad knees. That's why he dropped in the draft. Came into the league that way. But he's a two-way player. It doesn't cost you a lot. And if we're going pound for pound, I love Matisse Thybulle's defense, but the other stuff needs to catch up. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 on 97.5 The Fanatic on this Wednesday night. Again, 610-632-0975. We've been talking Phil's Birds and just mentioning the NBA Finals and people don't like Stephen Curry. The story from Tom Moore about OG Anunoby just had to go into a nice back and forth. Good discussion, though. Great call. Really appreciate it. Let's go next to Drew in Westchester talking to little Phils. What's going on, Drew?
Hey, what's going on, Devon? How you doing today, man?
Good, man.
So basically, here's my deal, man. I'm sitting here and I'm watching a sporting event. So I'm going to let you guess what I'm watching right now.
You are watching soccer.
Nah, man.
I mean, hockey. You're watching your hockey.
Nah, man. I'm watching Phillies, brother.
Oh, are you? Well, I'm glad you're watching it and still listening to us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. No, I got the TV on mute listening to you guys. And, you know, I'm just looking over some of the, you know, statistics lately. And I talked to Tyler quite a bit. And, he, you know, he still has me believing that this team can be a playoff team. So, you know, I'm kind of seeing it maybe unfold here that, you know, maybe the potential was always there with this team and that, you know, just for some reason, maybe the spark of fire in the manager was just what it took, you know, for whatever reason. I know it's still early. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I know anything can happen now, but, you know, we're in June now and if we can turn that switch now and really get some momentum going, I think we could have, you know, maybe some fun with this season.
It's encouraging, man. It really is. And to see them playing the way that they're playing right now, obviously something has jump-started them with the changing at the manager position. We hope that that can carry over. And we hope that, we talked about this before the game started, that Aaron Nola can come in and be the player, Drew, where Aaron Nola should come in and do his job and we should expect it. To come in and do a good job and expect it. To come out there and give you six, seven, eight strong innings and keep your team in it. If it's a low-scoring affair, then okay. The pitcher, Aaron Nola in this case, is not hurting his team because he's not allowing things to happen with the other side. So if, as long as those things work and they get these good outings, the offense continues to hit, and Thompson makes the right moves, pressing the right buttons, I think they'll be fine, man. They'll give us something to be entertained with this summer.
Yeah, and that's kind of all I'm asking for, you know, is just to not be, you know, not be out of it where it's just like, oh, the Phillies are on, whatever.
No question.
It's actually be like, oh, yeah, the Phillies are on, you know, let's maybe watch it or see how they're doing, you know.
Yeah, no question about it, man. No question.
Yeah, man. It's exciting. And another hockey's winding down, you know, just to hopefully have another, you know, another thing in the arsenal to be able to watch there, you know, and it'll be good for the city.
What do you think of the hockey situation going on right now as they get ready for everything that's about to happen there?
You know, here's where I'm at. I mean, I can't root for the Rangers. I cannot do it. So
2-2 right now in Tampa Bay, by the way, tomorrow, 8 o'clock, game number 5.
Yeah. And I want to, I mean, obviously I'm rooting for Tampa, but to win 3 cups in a row, that's like almost like,
I know.
I want to see that happen just because you're basically saying, wow, you're like a dynasty and I'm like kind of against dynasty. So if it, I mean, hopefully it comes down to Colorado, Tampa, but I'd have to root for Colorado. And
just like I looked at it for the NBA in the Final Four with Boston in the Final Four in the Eastern Conference Finals, everybody but Boston. So
yeah,
everybody but the Rangers.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'll throw it out to the West this year. That's cool, man. And we'll see what happens next.
No doubt. Drew, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Talk to you. You got it, man. Have a good rest of your night. 610-632-0975. I see Derek and Mark want to chime in on the conversation that we were having just quickly about Tom Moore's story and OG Anunoby kind of going into a Matisse Thybulle thing. Really appreciate the interaction. 6 o'clock, I mean, the 9 o'clock hours upcoming. We'll get into more of that. We'll also talk about Best Friends Day. Two best friends, they're now parting ways. They're getting their own places. They're adults. They're about to do it. We'll tell you who those two are on the other side. 610-632-0975. Even Matt doesn't know what I'm talking about. Matt Menard producing. We'll tell you who those two are. Finally getting their own places. They're growing up. They're adults now. We'll keep it going. We'll talk about it. 9 o'clock hour on this Wednesday night. Devon Givens, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
O'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Man, we go to break. It's like nothing. All of a sudden, 4-0. Yes, 4-0. The baseball team doing their job, 4-0 in the third inning, top of the third right now. And two home runs, one two-run shot from Stott, and the second one was a two-run home run from Rhys Hoskins. And they have put 4 on the board in the third. Again, hopefully doing their job, hitting, putting the runs on the board. Aaron Nola now, it's his turn to make sure he keeps this going. So Phillies right now in the third, a big third with two-run home runs, 4 runs on the board. Let's see if Aaron Nola can do his job to keep this lead for the Phillies tonight and taking the first two games of the series. Matt.
He's still in the comfort zone. That's the thing. He's now in the third. His ERA in the third, 2.45, so he's still in good shape.
Yeah.
A couple more innings is where we have to start worrying.
Yeah, and number one, to not allow them to put any on the board from 3 through 5, to your point, because of this inning split list that you gave me, this sheet, the sixth, for the people who are just tuning in, the sixth inning, his ERA is 13.50 in the 10 games that he's played. He's played 11 games, but in 10, he's got to the sixth inning, 13.5, meaning he's been taken out one game before that fifth inning where he came out in the fourth. 8 innings pitched in the sixth inning, 37 batters faced, 12 hits, 12 runs, all earned, 5 homers with 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. He has to come out and keep that command going in this one tonight. Has to for them to win this game tonight. This will be another big one as they go for win number 6 in a row for their new manager, interim manager, Rob Thompson. 610-632-0975. I'll tell you about the best friends here shortly, finally growing up and moving on to their own places. We'll tell you about that shortly. Derek in North Philly here on 97.5. What's up, Derek?
What's going on, man? You know, I've been trying to get through to you, man.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. Thank you. Busy night.
Let us show as always, man.
Thank you.
First, like, just like what you were just talking about, stats, we got to stop putting pressure on these pitchers. They put in their minds like, all right, I'm having a bad game in a certain inning, and then the coaches pull them out. How do they ever expect them to get through those innings if they don't let them tough it out? That's one thing. I mean, just want to put that out there. You can talk about that later. But with basketball, with Matisse, man, he plays defense, right? We need to build a team. Everybody needs to have certain roles on this team. If we have shooters on our team, why are we expecting Matisse Thybulle to shoot, make 20 points, 15 points a game?
No, not for me. Defense? Not for me. I expect him to make 10 points a game, but be a threat to knock down the shot just like Bruce Bowen did. Just like so many others did, knocking down those threes from the corner where that's less pressure. And because you have to be able to be defended, Derek. You can't be out there and not defended.
But this is the thing. The plays that they have where he's cutting, those are the plays when he's in there, they have to run. But you need somebody to play defense. Bowen was a certified shooter out there, though.
But he was also a very good defender.
Yeah, but I'm saying compared to Matisse, he wasn't known for when we drafted him. What was we talking about when he first got there?
Who?
Defense. Bruce? Matisse.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It wasn't, he can score and play defense. It was defense. Now that he's playing D, now everybody want him to score. It's just like saying J.J. Redick. Oh, he can shoot, but he couldn't play a lick of D. So we got to pick the poison, but we have to build a team. These teams that we're watching, everybody has a role to play. You know what I mean? And we got to stop trying to get these guys to do something outside of their character.
Well, we disagree on this one, Derek, because while I'm not asking him to go out there and be Paul George. I'm just asking him to go out there and be defendable, defended on every possession where they can't come down and be 4-on-5. You can't have that. And you have four really good offensive players in your starting unit. So all I'm asking him to be is respectable out there. That's all I am asking. And when he does go backdoor and they get him and they find him for some easy layups and dunks, Derek, I've also seen him miss those too. So you know what I'm saying?
Everybody on the team is doing that. But, like, missing shots, like, that they should be making.
But look how many they take versus the ones that he takes. He has to take advantage of those minimal shot attempts.
All right, now, what if he's shooting more and then his percentage go down? Then y'all going to say, oh, he's shooting too much. Yeah. We never satisfied here.
I disagree because I think we've been waiting for that extra bump with that offense. No matter what the percentage looks like, it's the volume of the shots and the attempts and just having the confidence in doing it.
Right now, so you rather have let's just take JJ Redick. You rather have Redick shoot 30
shots.
You're
talking to the wrong one about JJ because I'm a big JJ guy. Derek.
All right, no, but I'm serious. But let me talk about your boy first, Jimmy Butler. How your boy going to shoot a 3-pointer at the end of the game? That's what we want to hear.
I didn't like it. I didn't like that shot selection.
All right, now if he was here, do you think we'd be trashing him?
I didn't like the shot selection. I don't care what uniform he had on. I didn't like the shot selection. But I also know that when you talk about Butler, he was carrying them.
You're right. Yeah.
Carrying them. So if anything, he had the cachet to shoot whatever he wanted, even though I didn't like it.
No, Devon, you can't agree with that type of shot.
I'm saying if there's anybody on that team who was able to shoot that, it's him because of everything he did, but I still disagree with the shot. That was one of those shots of, oh, he made it? It was still a bad shot.
Right, exactly. You know, I'm just saying, if he was here, I wonder if we would have been trashing him, saying get rid of him.
That's not a worthy of a get rid of him shot. It's just, oh, my God, you kept us out of the NBA Finals with that shot selection.
Yeah, but and you don't think we, as fans here, would have been trashing him? Come on, man.
I'm
just saying, like, we as fans here, like the guy said, we don't give these guys time to develop. Holiday, we had him here. Sixth Man of the Year, Williams, here. All these guys, how do they develop it anywhere else except here? That's what we've got to start looking at, man.
Well, they developed. I mean, Lou was already Lou when he left, but he just became much, much better at being Lou Williams. And Drew Holiday was only in, like, year number 3. So, of course he was going to get better. He was already an all-star here. Now, that was like the guard list wasn't that great, but he still made it. But we know that he had blossomed into what he's blossomed into. So it was already there. We saw what it was. It was just a matter of Sam Hinkie decided he wanted to go and do the rebuild thing that he did.
Right. But his rebuild is costing us championships because we don't let them stay and build. But we have to build what we have. And last thing real quick, your boy Andre Bumadawa, he's a
Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer.
He's a bum. He came in and turned the ball over. He messed that whole rotation.
Yes, he did. He sure did.
That was Kerr's fault for changing that rotation in that first game, man. And then he didn't even play the next game.
That injury that he's dealing with, that's real. But I'm not making an excuse for what he did in game 2. I'm just saying he probably shouldn't even have been out there. But
exactly.
To your point, Kerr had him out there, and that's Steve Kerr's fault. That was one of those, I respect Andre, I got to give him this chance. Let me put him out there, and it cost him the game in the end.
And this is what I'm mad about.
Hall of Famer.
We give certain players chances, but the ones we have here, we never give a chance, and we should change that. But call a shamer. Get out of here, man. He shouldn't have been on the floor.
Hall of Famer, Derek. Get ready. If he gets another ring, Hall of Famer.
I won't call for about 2 weeks or something like that.
I'll put out the bat signal for you, Derek.
I know, right?
Come on.
They better not give him MVP. I knew that much.
Well, nah, he can't get that. He ain't going to play that. Hey, man, good to talk to you, man.
Have a good one,
You too, man. Hall of Famer, get ready. Get ready if he gets another one. Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer. I love when people bring that Andre Iguodala stuff to me because I will tell you in a second. Hall of Famer. If he gets one more ring, you better believe it. I don't care how many minutes he plays in this series. He gets another ring and adds that one there. Bingo. And Sixer fans are going to be ticked off. Oh, he doesn't deserve it. Stop it. He's got 4 rings. He's got a gold medal. That's what it's about. It's about the basketball, the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Not the NBA, not the National Basketball Association Hall of Fame, the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. See what you done did there, Derek? Starting trouble. Because now I'm going to get all the people that I've argued with in the past about Andre Iguodala being a Hall of Famer. His credentials aren't good enough. I wasn't going there tonight. You did that. You did that. And as far as Matisse Thybul goes with what Derek was talking about, Derek, I like Matisse Thybul. He disappointed me. He didn't lose all my trust like Simmons did after Game 7 against the Atlanta Hawks a season ago. But listen, man. Team sport. Look, do what you want to do. I got it. Do what you want to do. But my man, team sport, you let your team down. Therefore, your rotations are off. Chemistry is off. When you now have to be in the game, Danny Green goes down. You can't even really put you in the game because we don't know what's going on. Even though we don't know what's going on. He's out of it. He's off. Come on, man. Come on. I like Matisse Thybul, but I would not stop just because OG Anunoby gets hurt a few times and he's out. Better player. Mark and Camden next on 97.5. What's up, Mark?
Where I'm from, brother.
Oh, man. Always, always.
Yeah, my thing is, first of all, you need to stop it with that Andre Iguodala.
I like to get people all going because when he makes the Hall of Fame, everybody's going to have to call and owe me an apology.
You know, he's in a Hall of Fame team. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Hey, man, four rings. Four rings, MVP, finals MVP, gold medalist. That's not my call. That's their call. That's their credentials, not mine.
So he's a John Havlicek, like the Boston Celtics. He's in a bunch of Hall of Famers, and he getting the Hall of Fame.
Not my rules. That's the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame rules.
Yeah, I hear you. He probably will make it.
That's all I ever say. And I'm now his defender because so many people say, oh, he's not going to make it. Like, Malik is going to come up, and then Malik, me and him are going to battle about this. I didn't make the rules. Yeah, you see all these people who get in, and you're like, really? He's getting in? Yeah, Andre Iguodala is going to be one of them.
Yeah, you're right. And then my boy, I don't even think he made it. Sidney Moncrief in?
I don't think Sidney Moncrief is in. I think, did Alvin Robinson get in? I think, neither one of them, but Tim Hardaway is going. Tim Hardaway is going in. This year, who else went in? Mitch Richmond went in a couple of years ago. I was like, really?
But Sidney should be in.
I don't know. I have to check and see if Sidney Moncrief. Matt will check that one and see if Sidney Moncrief is a Hall of Famer. But
yeah, that's
the point of it. But go ahead.
Yeah, I got you. My point with decisions is I don't understand why our franchise, Ty, bring other players. You got to revamp that bench. You got to revamp the bench. I was told, I read an article. They're talking to get Derrick Jones.
Here's the deal with that. It was a rumor that came out during the NBA draft combine where everybody, of course, was together. So you'll start to hear a lot of stuff. Mark Eversley, who was an executive here a couple of seasons ago before he left to go to Chicago, is now the general manager there for Arturis Karnasivis, who is the president of basketball ops in Chicago. So the report came out that pointed out that Matisse Thybul was the guy that he was the one that found him, really. So with that, he might be interested in Thybul. So they threw Jones's name. They threw a couple of people's names in there as well. And Derrick Jones, the only thing for me, is not a starter. He's a bench player. So you still have to find a fifth starter, in my opinion.
You can get that, but you need an athletic guy. He's perfect. I mean, for athleticism, we need a guy like that.
Yeah, but to start, I mean, he's still not an offensive player where you at least – he'll slash and he'll do all that stuff and he'll get alley-oops from James Harden. He'll connect on those things. But do you want him to be your fifth starter is my question.
Nah, I
would prefer him coming off the bench playing maybe 20 minutes a game.
I told you the guy I want. I want Clark from Utah. That's the guy I want.
Well, we'll see what's going on there because they're starting to bust things up. Quinn Snyder's out, so what's next? And you're already hearing rumors about Rudy Gobert potentially being gone. Chicago as well. By the way, Sidney Moncrief, Matt says, got in 19, so he is in.
Okay, good. I agree. Say, because I never understand how Sidney Moncrief wasn't in the Hall of Fame. That's crazy.
I know, but it's always a pleasure, bro. You know, I'm going to give you a call tomorrow, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. Thank you, man.
Andre Iguodala crap.
Yes, indeed. I will wear my Iguodala jersey proudly when he gets into the Hall of Fame because everybody has to say sorry to me. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. All right, man. You got it. 610-632-0975.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. 97.5. The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm putting them in. I'm saying they're putting them in, so I think I know what their credentials are. He's getting in. Sidney Moncrief in 19. In 19. All right. Brian Elbow Shaferi says, Devon, do you think Jimmy was singing Hootie and the Blowfish in the Heat locker room after the game? I really should have shot a two. Yes, he did. Yes, he did, Brian. He did. Jimmy can do what he wants, except for when he gets to, you know, big fight with Eric Spoelstra and Udonis Haslem is threatening to beat his you-know-what. Brian King Stanton 85 says, keep the pick, 23. Maybe even trade Thibel and 23 to move up. Thibel can't play in Toronto. He's unvaccinated, so he would have to go to a third team. Yeah, that's why we brought up the third team. Nice try. He would be perfect fit with Embiid, Maxey, and Harden. How about Grant? I'm guessing you mean Jeremy Grant for Harris. Grant would be a much better fit with our big three. Yes, but does he want too many shots? Because he thinks he's the offense. In Detroit, he can score, and you know he can defend, but Brian, does he want too many shots? Does he want too much revolving around him where you still have to find Maxey and Harris shot? Well, Harris is gone, but you still have to find Maxey a good amount of shots as well. Nice name. Nice name. Does he want too much, though? Does he expect the offense to be revolving more around him? If they did get him, I'm not going to be mad at it because he's a good player. But does he want too much? He left that Denver team because you already had Murray, Jokic, who does pass the ball, and Porter, who is the up-and-coming guy, 20 points a game. You can see that in him easily. He left that situation for going to Detroit, getting the same money, but losing so many more games, all because he could take 20 shots a game. What's his mentality, Brian? What does he want? Before I make a deal like that, hanging out with you until 10 o'clock, Devon Givens, 610-632-0975, Malik in Willow Grove. What's up, Leek?
Hey, good brother. Come on, man.
Don't you
Come
start. Don't you Let start me with
this. Me. Let me say this. Say word. The best thing about Andre Iguodala that's Hall of Fame is his initials. He's low budget. Come on, bro. He just happened to be on the right team, riding the wave to the shore.
But sometimes that's all you need, right?
We gave him the opportunity to be the star, and he folded like a lawn chair.
That was never him.
It's not him to go to the Hall of Fame, neither.
That's not our call.
Anybody that doesn't want to be the star, he's going to be the guy that makes it to the Hall of Fame when, like in football, them linemen you ain't never heard of.
Well, that's because they did their jobs.
When they run out of people for real to give it to, Iguodala's going to make that cut.
Okay, but to your point, what you just said, going to make that cut, isn't he?
Man.
Isn't he?
I'm listening. Let me let you get the mic.
No, isn't he? Again, the credentials are what they are. He will be, if they win, a four-time NBA champion where he did something about it. He was a finals MVP. in that series where some thought it should have went to LeBron James as the loser or Stephen Curry as the winner. And then he also has a gold medal. And it, the longevity in the NBA, that's what it is.
I'm going to give you all that. But the truth, that the only thing they're going to remember about Iguodala in the playoffs is LeBron James having that world-famous blocker.
And that's what Jasper just tweeted to me, that's Jay Gridlock. But you guess what? If I'm him, I would have it hanging up and say, guess what? Next to my Hall of Fame jacket.
Okay, I'm feeling that.
You know what I'm saying? What do I care that he blocked my shot? The only thing I care about that is, darn, I don't have a fifth NBA title.
Right.
That's what I care about.
Or at least I was there to get blocked for him to be able to do
that. Hey, man, he took that shot, didn't he? Now, I thought he should have cocked it back and tried to dunk it, but who am I to say that?
He should have banged it. That's what he should have
exactly.
He should have banged it.
Well, you know, J.R. Smith really did a good job of cutting his angle off and making him take the shot
that he did. Right, making him take that out.
Exactly, yep.
But you know what's crazy? They call that one of LeBron James patting his moves. The chase down block.
Well, he stole that from Tayshaun Prince first.
Because he pinned Iguodala stuck to the mat.
Well, Tayshaun Prince was the one who really got it started, and he was phenomenal.
Yeah, he's that guy.
He got Reggie Miller with it the first time. We're like, oh.
Right.
Oh.
Right. Miller will tell you that.
No doubt about it. Yep.
That's all I had to say.
Hey, Malik, thanks, man.
You know, I'm going
to
get with you.
All right, we'll talk to you. Really appreciate it. You got it. Have a good night. 610-632-0975. I got arguments for days when it comes to this. Because it's not my rule. It's the Hall of Fame's rule. What are you arguing with me for? Because I'm speaking that something might actually happen. What are you arguing with me for? I didn't do it. Just because you don't like him? Yeah, cool. Jasper, you showed me that? LeBron pinned his shot the next year. Absolutely right. But guess what? If he's in the Hall of Fame, what makes him different? Except for he's the number two best player of all time. We're both in the Hall of Fame. What are you telling me? And I have as many rings as you. I may not be Stephen Curry, but we have the same rings.
And he did contribute. I mean,
yes, he contributed.
In the final. He wasn't like Juwan Howard.
He was defensively really good. All right, then they'll say Devon Wood, LeBron averaged 37 against him. He's LeBron James. LeBron James is going to do that against everybody, including the best defender. Kobe Bryant was Kobe Bryant. Rest his soul, right? Tony Allen was good. The man said Tony Allen's the best defender he's ever faced. You get credit for that stuff. You get credit. Jasper says, and even if Iguodala does get another ring, he won't have contributed anything towards it. But it still counts. And that's what they see. It counted for his fourth ring. And that goes on his bio for the Hall of Fame. 610-632-0975. Gary Payton has a Hall of Fame. I mean, a ring. What did he really do? What did he do?
I mean, with the Sonics, he did. Not when he won the championship.
Not when he was with the Lakers. I mean, Miami, he played, but.
He was on Miami? I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, he was on Miami.
Wow.
Yeah. What was he doing? He was chasing his rings. Yeah. I don't have a problem with it.
A lot of players do that.
I don't have a problem with it. Who else has a ring that was on? No, not Tracy McGrady. They lost that year. It was it Glenn Robinson sitting on the bench? Somebody has a ring. And it's like, he has a ring. He didn't do anything for it, but it goes on his Hall of Fame bio.
It's like LeSean McCoy.
He has two.
Yes.
Yes. He's going to the Hall of Fame, and they have to mention that he's a two-time Super Bowl champion, and he did nothing.
Nothing.
So, hey, Jasper, stop it. Get ready for the Iguodala Hall of Fame parade here in Philadelphia. All right, final segment. Mike, we'll get to you. You got some players the Sixers should go after this offseason. We'll open up the phone lines if anybody wants to check in last minute, and we'll finally tell you on National Best Friends Day. Two best friends that anybody could ever have. Finally moving out. They're separating. They're going their separate ways. And they should. They're adults. We'll tell you who they are. Final segment. Coming up. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Matt Menard, the Bats are live in the Midwest. Milwaukee. Odubel Herrera, first batter, drills one.
Ball is
gone. Gone. 5-0 Phillies now in the top of the fifth. One on, no outs at this stage of the game. So there you go. There you go. How about that?
Hitting is contagious.
Hey, man, keep it going. Keep it going. Look at that. Look at Rob Thompson. Engaged. Look at him.
Yeah, he's not sitting dialed in. Step with his arms crossed.
Dialed in, Rob Thompson. We don't know anything about Rob Thompson except for he's now the interim manager.
Except he spells his name Thompson different than anybody else.
Yes, he does. No P in there. No P in there. Oh, man. 610-632-0975. Oh, man. Let's get these phone calls in, and I'll tell you about the two best friends that finally decide to. Because Matt's been wondering who it is. You thought it was Bert and Ernie, right?
Yeah, that popped
not
in
Bert
my
Ernie.
Head.
Not
yeah,
Bert and Ernie.
I have no clue now.
Yeah, not Bert and Ernie. I'll let you know. Moan, we'll get to you in a second. Mike in Philly first here on 97.5. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, DeVar?
How you doing, man?
Nothing. First time caller. Kind of new to the whole radio talk scene.
Oh, man.
We became a fan this year listening to you.
I appreciate that, man. You know, we're always welcome, man. Family is family.
Right, right. No, it was just I had to do it for my job, so...
Gotcha.
Do a lot of games
gotcha.
On the radio, so then the next day I'll be hearing y'all talk about it and just listen. But yeah. I had a couple things. I was first the positive with the Phillies. Like, it was so electrifying just watching it from my home. That day, Bryce Harper and Stott had the home runs to win the game for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Sunday. It was just so electrifying. Even from my bedroom, it was like, wow, like the energy in that home run. I felt like you said, and people have been saying, it's a whole new different energy now with the Phillies, and it's a good thing to see because they've been dragging it out for the last
year. And we've been wanting to see it just a consistent thing, right? This is how they put the team together, right, Mike?
Just like you said with Philly people, just fight. Look like you care. Girardi didn't like he cared. All right, the second thing, when we get to the Sixers, I had two names that's been burning in my head, and I'm like, people don't talk about it, but it's like the problem we ran into this year at Sixers, we didn't have no score punch off the bench. So the two names that came to my mind that I felt like could be gettable, what do you think about DeMarcus Cousins and T.J. Warren?
So T.J. Warren has been brought up before, maybe not when you checked in with us there, Mike. But
yeah, I've seen the stories, but I thought that was a good thought.
It is a good one. Does now? Here's the question: it's just a matter of how much money he's going to want, what this contract looks like, just because he's missed the last two seasons. So
that's what I'm thinking. Like, he might be cheap because of the fact that he's been out
for that years. Part, I'm game with that one because
right.
If he comes in and he's coming off the bench. At first, you know he's going to give you 12 off the bench easily. He's probably going to give you anywhere from 15 to 17, and then you never know when he goes off for
right.
A quick 20, and as you said, he can give you 50.
I still remember that 50 game he put on us. That still burns in my head.
Yeah, in the bubble, right.
And then I was also thinking DeMarcus because I'm like, it would be nice to have us. Like, I want Reed and Bassey to grow because I feel like they got something, especially because they can bigs who can shoot and run. But, like, someone like DeMarcus brings grit, too. Like, you're not going to get – you're not soft players. So you get him not only –
I'm not opposed
grit,
to it.
Yeah, you're not only getting grit, but you're getting a person who can get buckets. And in some scenarios, you can play him with Joel Embiid because they both can move their feet good enough for certain plays. And on the offensive end, my God, like, who you going to put guard? If you guard Embiid outside, DeMarcus is going to kill you inside. If you guard DeMarcus inside, then, you know, outside.
I don't know how much they would experiment with that, having them both on the floor.
I'm like a ball time, but I'm just thinking.
Like a little five-minute stretch, little fun. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Outside the box, like, you go with a scoring.
No problem with me.
Powers like that, like, that'll scare some teams and give us that scoring punch while Joel Embiid sits and then comes back in.
Yeah. Yep.
Those are the two names that I was thinking about.
I'm not mad at either. DeMarcus Cousins is going to come cheap. Even if he got a 2-year deal, it's still going to be relatively cheap.
And
you would hope that Doc Rivers, their relationship, they could do something there. And then as far as T.J. Warren, again, what is his agent looking for coming off of his 2 years of absence?
Like he'll be on some type of prove it deal. Like he'll take a small 1-year contract just to show teams that he still got it.
Then I'm in.
That's why I'm thinking like it's possible because I'm thinking both of them are all still on some.
Then I'm in.
I'm not hurt no more type players. You know what I mean?
I'm in.
And my other thing I was burning about that I was just thinking about, how do you feel about AD being in the top 75?
I don't love it.
Okay, I thought it was just me.
No, you're not alone.
Like, what has he really done to make him a top 75 player?
He's super talented. He has missed a lot of games.
He's really talented.
Missed a lot of games with the Pelicans.
But it's Mr. Glass, though.
And missed a lot of games with the Lakers. But
it's Mr. Glass.
The All-Stars, the All-NBAs, the All-Defense, the Defensive Player of the Year, and the championship now, that's why he's a 75.
I mean, I understand those points, and they're valid points, but I just feel like when you're talking about 75 of the greatest players, You can't tell me that somebody like
Dwight Howard should have been on 75.
I feel like Dwight would possibly be better, but more I would say Clay. Like
Clay also
was a big part of those rings, and before it got hurt was like the second best shooter in the whole league.
I'm not arguing with you. Both of them should be.
I know. I'm just saying. Like, yeah. I was just thinking about it. Like, because I respect AD and he has game and he is talented, but I'm just like, you got carried to that ring first off. Secondly, yeah, you had the defensive stats, but that's because you were the only athletic person in New Orleans besides Jrue Holiday. So, of course, you're the main person to block everything. So, like, he got the benefit of being on a poor team. Like, once he got to the Lakers, he had maybe, what, good 6 months out of his 3 years he played there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, it just, to me, is like, I don't disrespect him because I know he's a great player, had a great college year, and all that, but I just like, I don't feel he's a top 75 guy.
Of course he's close to it, but I agree with you. I thought he got in there a little bit too early.
Yeah, like way too early. Yeah. Him and Harden, like.
Yeah. Well, Harden's like a 10-time All-Star, scoring champ, 2-time MVP. I mean, 1-time MVP, and we know he should have had a second one if they didn't give it to Russell Westbrook. He's a 75. He carried that Houston team.
I feel like the 75 should be with people who actually help bring championships, because that's what it's all about. The end, right? The
yeah,
ring.
Yeah, but Charles Barkley doesn't have a ring. He's got to be 75. Iverson doesn't have a ring. He's got to be 75. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. But Mike, thanks for the call, man. Don't be a stranger, man.
No, not at all. I love your show, and I listen every night. I'm working.
I appreciate it. Thank you, man. Take care. Have a good night. We'll catch up. Yes, that 75 thing is fun, man. Brian on Twitter says, tell my fellow DeMarcus fan, congratulations on waking up and checking in. Sorry, but Sam Boogie can move his feet is playing wrong at this point. Cousins is going to stay in Denver with Mike Malone anyway. And I love TJ Warren if we can offload Tobias Harris. I don't expect TJ Warren to come in and start because he's in that prove-it situation. I expect him to come off the bench. So I think it's something that's doable just because of that. I do. Jasper checks back in. Says, by the way, you know I love you, brother, even with your, quote, flawed thinking about Andre Iguodala's place in NBA history. Not my rules. Love you back. Not my rules. It's just what it is. Just what it is. All right, before we go to Moan, I wanted to say this about the two best friends that are finally separating. For all these years, they've been in the league together. I think they were the same draft class for the Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Goedert and Avante Maddox. Dallas Goedert revealed earlier today on National Best Friends Day, they're officially getting their own places. Isn't that good for them? They're smart.
Good for them.
They were smart. They saved their money. They split their costs at their place. And now they have two long-term deals. They're well compensated now where their deals kick in this year. And they are finally getting their own places. I'd imagine they'll stay close to each other. They might be in the same cul-de-sac or something.
They might get a row home.
Well, I think they might stay in Jersey or something like that, but you know,
it's good. Now they don't have to
town home.
They don't have to put the sock on the door anymore.
They don't have
to
do any of that.
Own home.
Got their own place. Two best friends that anybody could ever have. Look at that.
Good for them.
Growing up, huh? Get a new contract, right?
Like Toby and Bobby.
There you go. So good for them. Finally get their own place. But
that
look,
is smart, though, what they did. Though.
Absolutely. They were friends. Like, you know what? We're making money, but when you listen to these other NFL players break down how it goes with the taxes, the agent's money. Taxes in other cities, because you play in the other cities, that is your job, and you end up with what you end up. It's smart. Let's split these costs. We'll have maybe one or two cars, right? We'll car share here. I don't know what that situation was like, but I'd imagine they had their own cars. But the point of it is, you have money so you can afford, let's say, a place that they're paying rent, $3,000 a month. I don't know, whatever it might be, wherever they were staying. All right, $1,500 apiece. Cool. I can live with that. Can you deal with that? Sure. All right, bet. Let's do that.
They already know they like each other.
We can stand each other. Yeah. Right? All of that? Yeah.
That is good. All right, good for them.
Smart thinking about them, man. Smart thinking.
There's a series. Have you ever seen, GQ has like a series on YouTube about how, it's called How I Spent My First Million. And I think it's GQ. And they sit down with athletes and they break down how they spent their first million since they got into the NFL or whatever sport they're in. It's pretty interesting. Jalen Hurts is one of them. And at the time the episode was aired, he didn't even spend his first $1 million. The most he spent on was donations. So they have like Cameron Jordan. He's been in the league for a long time.
I saw this one video from Cam Jordan, and he broke it down.
Yeah.
And he was like, all right, and then we did this, and then they had the graphics and stuff. They had the fun.
That's
is that the same video?
It. It's okay. Probably it, yeah. But yeah, I watched a bunch of them once, and it's pretty interesting. Jalen Hurts is really, he's another smart one with his money.
That doesn't surprise me one bit. Doesn't surprise me one bit. So, doesn't surprise me at all. So they're moving on. Moving on. And I respect it. I respect it. All right, let's go to Moan. I respect Moan. We always chat it up. What's up, Moan?
Yo, what's popping, my man?
What's going on?
Hey, man, just jumping in here and hearing this show. Check you out as always, man.
Thank you.
Whenever I get that opportunity, brother, you know, you're always holding it down for us, man. That when you talk about people that getting chips and they done nothing, McGrady definitely would.
Yeah, okay, so he did win one. Yeah, was it with San Antonio?
Yeah, it was with San Antonio.
Okay, I was thinking between him and Glenn Robinson, and I think Glenn Robinson might.
Glenn Robinson was there too. And I'll tell you another one, man. People want to talk about it. He's in there. Pete Maravich, he got one with Boston, but he didn't really do nothing. That was Pete. Pete was out there for show, but Pete wasn't doing nothing. He was back there with Bird in the 86 team, man. He didn't win nothing. He was on it. He got it, but he wasn't really a champion, like champion. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, McGrady got it. What I respect to him is that he was on a while back. I was watching him on when I was watching the NBA Today thing, and he said, yeah, I don't really talk about that, man. He's like, I ain't do nothing. And he was saying, he was like, yeah, I got it, but I ain't really do nothing. Because he recognized them years when he was in Houston and everywhere else, you know, he didn't get it when he was in his prime. So I respect that. He got it, but he downplayed it, man. So, you know, and for that instance, you could say James Jones, man. How many chips James Jones got?
James Jones, he might have three.
He got about three or four.
Who else did he have with outside of Miami?
Yeah, Miami. He got one when he was in Cleveland with LeBron. Didn't he?
Did he? Okay.
I think he did.
He might have been.
But the three he got in Miami, I mean, he came in, hit a shot here and there, but really?
But that goes into the category of Robert Horry, but Robert Horry kind of has his own standard.
But Robert Horry was a whole different animal than James Jones that hit the shot.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he has his own standard. He's in his own class where we have legitimate talks about him being a Hall of Famer.
But I could give James Jones his credit as an executive. I mean, as a GM, but man, he won it. He earned it. When he did with Phoenix,
yes, sir.
Yeah, so he got his props though. But yeah, as far and back with other callers were saying with the player, all I say is, we didn't talk about our Sixers, dude. We blew, man. I'm just tired of being in this situation again and again. We got to get this and that and. I'm tired of it, man. I'm more, what are we going to look like going forward? Because what I'm seeing out of these other teams are youth. And I'm seeing systems and courage, and I'm seeing people that are fighting. We saw none of that. So you keep adding this and that. You got, as this so-called culture that Glenn Rivers talked about, I don't see it, because I see culture with every other team that's been in the playoffs, man. And, you know, they have fight, man. And it's just, you know, I don't know. I'm just sit back and wait, because the day they asked me for my season ticket renewal was the day they lost, and I was salty. I told them, man, yo, you need to call me back another week. But right now, I'm about to say no. I'm about to say no, yo. I'm too salty right there. Hey, you all cheery and enthusiastic. Like, nah, I'm not feeling you on that. You know, so, but, you know, I bought in. I got them.
You better get in there. Yeah, somebody will take them.
Yeah. Look, I ain't cut my nose off to spite my face.
Understood.
Man,
understood.
That was a bad time. I'm going to sit back, wait and see, and just see how they're going to go forward, man, because it's all about, you got to do something, man. And I hate to see what I'm in my mind, I'm already thinking, within a year or so, they're going to trade the best player we got, man. Just to get better.
He might ask for it. He might ask for it first.
And exactly. That's what I say. And that's what I was thinking. Within a year, he can like, look, man, this ain't, you know, you're not building. And I say the problem with that was, it's not necessarily him. It's whatever the owner and that development team they had, they didn't develop nothing. And my Adoka, and then you got Monty Williams. They were both here. And ain't none of y'all see that? Like, y'all ain't. It just, we had two assistant coaches that are here, and look at them 2 years in a row. The very two assistants that were here in finals. They missed something. The talent development. It's something in that organization is not right. And they gotta correct it pretty quick, man. Mm-hmm. They gotta correct it quick. Or if not, we're always gonna be fourth, fifth. And as other teams are getting better, man, we start dripping. So you gotta start establishing something founding for the future outside of Tyrese Maxey, but you got to start inside. You got to start having something that's trending. I grew up in them early years in the 70s, from 76 to 84, brother. I knew where we were going to be, Eastern Conference Finals or the championship. Mm-hmm. That's kind of 8-9 years. This team,
Moan, thanks for the call, man. You just went out. We didn't do that. You just went out. But thanks for the call, man. Good stuff. Yep. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. We have to trade and beat. I hope it does not. Right now in the top of the, what is this, the fifth or the sixth?
Top of the sixth.
Top of the sixth. All right, so we haven't gotten Aaron Nola. We need an insurance run. We already had the insurance run, Herrera with the solo shot.
Got a man on third
JT with two outs.
Stole second.
Okay. Did he really?
Yeah.
Okay. All
right. That's the wheels.
Good for him. And they are currently trying to add on some insurance runs to get ready for the explosion. In the past.
You mean implosion?
In the past. I was talking about their bats, but the implosion of Aaron Nola's pitching.
Yeah. Maybe not tonight. Maybe because we over-talked it.
Maybe so. Let me check out his pitch count first before we get too far ahead of ourselves, because he just simply might be in a good place where we don't have to worry about that as we get ready for the sixth inning. Right now, he is at 61. Hauser is at 94.
61, that's great.
That's great.
And from what I was watching, he got a lot of movement on his ball today. Maybe he's got some humidity going.
Then it's time.
Maybe he was listening to his.
He was. He had the AirPods on, listening
in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee,
in the clubhouse before the game.
He knew what it was. He knew what it was. He knew what time it was. He knew it was time to check in at 8 o'clock before he got it going at 8:10. He knew, and even after 8:10, because they had the first chance at bats. So there you go. Everybody, make sure tomorrow, John Kincaid Show, the morning show. Listen from 6 to 10, but specifically make sure you're listening at 8 o'clock, 8 a.m. for a special station announcement. I don't know what it is, but I'd imagine if they call it an announcement, it's good. So enjoy it, and I'll find out when you find out, because I don't know, but it's exciting whenever we have an announcement. Matt Menard, great job, man. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here tonight. Thanks to all the callers, listeners, tweeters, everybody out there. Really appreciate it. Be back tomorrow. Not at 6. That will be Cuz's Corner with Anthony Gargano. I will be back at 7 following Cuz, star of Hustle. Catch it on Netflix, Anthony Gargano in the film. He's a star, but he's still Anthony. He will always be Anthony. He will always be good to you. So make sure you check him out, too, beginning at 10. Everybody have a great rest of your night. Talk to you tomorrow at 7. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.